Then we'd be able to understand what is it that they were doing. Just to reiterate again, we didn't receive any of the information regarding commissioners. Maybe here or there, within your presentations, they would talk to the role of commissioners, but nothing specific. In terms of the engagement, the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services, on activities of the South African Law Reform Commission, in terms of pending legislation that impact directly on women and girls. So before, the previous committee had said engage with justice, both at the PC level and at the department and the Law Reform Commission, to look at what's the legislation that's currently before justice or that Law Reform Commission is sitting on that would impact around women and girls. Because that, they can feed back to us and say, members, this is what's coming, this is what you need to be aware of. So it's to do a follow-up in that regard. Just in terms of...
It's just a minor question on the third bullet that says that the committee should engage. Is it this committee or is it the, are you referring to the commission?
It would be the commission. On Q2, these were just some of the observations and key concerns that were raised by the committee. I think just to pull out, we had noted that the parliamentary liaison officer was placed on suspension. So again, it's just to ascertain, was that issue resolved? What were the concerns? Is the person still there? I see in the Q1 there's a vacancy around the PLO. So we just need to follow up around that. If we move over to page 3, I've put some questions down for consideration in terms of the outstanding matters for Q2. Then looking at the BRR, I've noted what the previous committee's specific recommendations were for the CGE. It was under finance, governance, and then if you move over to page 4, there were some program matters. Again, it's to ask the CGE today, did they implement all the BRR recommendations from the previous year? If there were anything outstanding, what were these? And then from 2018, what are the BRR recommendations that you've implemented now in Q1 for 2019-20? What they've also done, the CGE in the past, with our committee, is to say, right from the beginning, they would report to the committee in terms of BRR recommendations, we have done A, B, C, D, and these are the outstanding matters. And I think that's the importance of the follow-up, because the BRR isn't just a report that we do to collate what has happened and then we file it. It's for ongoing monitoring and evaluation. If we move to number 4, looking at the linkages between the APP, NDP priorities, MTSF outcomes, and SONA priorities, again, the CGE doesn't work in a vacuum. It's for us to constantly check how does its work and what it finds tell us about how far we're coming in terms of achieving NDP priorities, MTSF outcomes. So yes, they've done work or they're beginning to do work around SDGs, but it's for us to constantly check with them what's been their work in that regard and what are the outcomes in terms of tangible outcomes. In terms of unmet targets, as Crystal said, by Q4, they give us a table of an overview of the targets. But we need to know for 18-19, how many targets did you carry over to 19-20? And now that we are in Q1-19-20, which of those targets did you fulfill and which have you not? And why is that? So again, it's just to look at follow-up. Did you meet your targets? If you didn't, if you carried over targets, how many targets did you carry over? Did you complete them? Yes. If not, why not? They've done work on mining, so we commend them for doing that. But it's not clear in the Q4, by the end of that financial year, whether they actually had a policy dialogue. So what they would usually do is they would engage in a sector, have transformation hearings or have a hearing or discussion around the report that they have, and following on from that, looking at further discussions. So that's the purpose of the policy dialogue. But it's not clear. They've done so much work in the mining sector. Did they actually have that policy dialogue? In terms of women in correctional centres, as Crystal said, between Q3 and 4, we can't physically say what they did in Q3. By Q4, they give us a list of these are the key findings from their report when they visited those three correctional centres, which is good, but the intention is to say, now what? What's the strategy? Are you engaging with the Department of Correctional Services? If so, when? Are you coming to Parliament to engage with the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services or the Select Committee? There needs to be a clear strategy to say, this is the findings and this is what you're going to do with the findings. Is your intention to change policy? Is your intention just to raise awareness? It's not good enough just to do the research and to identify the findings. It's what you do with the findings that's important. Also in terms of the findings around correctional centres, they don't make mention of women and children within correctional centres. And I think that's also important to note. So yes, they refer to findings around chronic medication and women and sexual reproductive health, but they don't mention anything about women and children. Once I've done my presentation, I'll hand over to Tasneem, because Tasneem then has done a paper some time ago about women and children in correctional centres, so she'll speak briefly to members about that. Again, in terms of maternal health, so they've done a lot of work on maternal health. They've gone into hospitals. They've had challenges with Department of Health. But this is not a new issue. They reported to the former committee in the financial year 17-18, and they reported in 18-19. Again, it's to say, so you've got these findings, but what's your strategy? Are you going to Department of Health, and what's your intention there? Are you targeting specifically the DG, the minister, or the office dealing with quality assurance? Because much of the findings related to that. Again, it's to find out, well, what's the strategy? It's not good enough just having a report with findings. What are you going to do with those findings? The elections project. So they've spoken to the committee before around this project. They've spoken about the 50-50 quota and amendment to the Electoral Act. But again, it's to say, well, what's your strategy? Are you putting together a submission? Have you approached the Electoral Commission? Are you coming to Parliament with that submission? What's your intention now that you found particular issues related to the recent elections we've had? If we move over to page 6, around forced marriages and child marriages, and this has come up in strategic 1 around a monitoring and evaluation report. It states that forced marriages and early child marriages as a focus area in its 2018-19 APP, but it's not reported on this in Q3 and 4 of 18-19, nor in Q1 of 19-20. Now, we know child marriages have come up as an issue for the committee when we looked at Beijing Plus 25, as well as the amendment to the SADC gender protocol. That's important, because previously the CGE said they were working with the Law Reform Commission on a discussion paper in relation to that. It's a topical issue for now, but there's nothing in the CGE's report, in any of the presentations, that talks to that. So again, it's for members to follow up. Gender-based violence. So we commend the CGE. They are doing work in this regard. Crystal's noted they're looking at work related to the council, the National Council on Gender-based Violence. They're looking at monitoring and setting up a task team. But again, it's to find out really clearly from the CGE, what's your relationship to the Department of Women, Youth and Persons Disabilities and the Presidential Review Committee? What are you monitoring? What are you evaluating? What are you tracking? In terms of the case management and complaints, so they give us a table every month except for Q3 and Q4, and they tell us across the provinces, these are the number of complaints, and GBV always comes up as an issue. somebody always comes to the CG and there's a complaint about GBV. But it's, we need to ascertain what's the complaint about GBV and the protection order. But more specifically, if it's a consistent issue across all provinces, what are commissioners doing within provinces and nationally to deal with systemic issues? So at the province level, you have a civilian secretariat, IPID, the provincial police commissioner, social development, health. They've got interministerial teams that come together and deal with issues related to gender-based violence. It's to say, well, as a commissioner in the province, what are you doing to take up the amount of gender-based violence cases that's been brought to their attention, whether it's through a legal clinic or a complaints matter? Remember, we need to hold commissioners to account to not just the administration of the CGE, because the CGE and the commissioners should be spearheading issues around GBV, but we need to find out how they're doing that. So I've also given members this table, and it looks at the top 50 police stations and rape kits. So members may have recalled the chairperson noted we put out a media statement about the lack of rape kits in police stations. The police committee put out a media statement, and then 24 hours later we did too. Subsequently, SAPS came out and said the matter's being addressed. But how does this relate to the CGE and the work of commissioners? If you look at the top 50 police stations, so this is based on information we got from stats. This is top 50 police stations in terms of rape. So in other words, all of these police stations has the highest recording of rape. But when I cross-checked with the advisor for police around, look at these police stations and in terms of the number of rape kits, did these police stations have rape kits? And I've noted for all the months to the right, for both adult and pediatrics. So you can see now 14, 16, 24, and 28. These police stations, for these months that we noted, they actually didn't have rape kits. So in other words, it's not to say that if you were raped, a child or a woman, and you went to the police station, you didn't lay a case. You may have laid a case, but there was no rape kit. So there was no way that evidence could have been collected at that police station. So subsequently, as I said, the SAPS have come out and said the issue of rape kits have been addressed. But when we look at the role of commissioners, and this is a recent issue, we could be asking the CGE, if you look at your top 50 police stations and looking at where commissioners are assigned to, are they looking at GBV at this kind of level? Because they've done work before around police stations and looked at the issues of the service received and rape kits. But again, there's nothing stopping the committee from saying, well, commissioners within your provinces, if you look at your province, are you keeping tabs of these police stations? And if so, how? Are you working with the provincial commissioner of police, knowing that you do get complaints received about various police stations across the country? If we move over to page 7.
Okay. Kashifa, so you're saying in this, wherever there's a zero, it means there's no rape kits at all for that particular month. All right.
So what I did was we looked at the information about rape kits for the period 31st of March 2017. So in that month, Orange Farm had no rape kits. On the 31st of March 2018, Orange Farm still didn't have. On the 31st of March 2019, Orange Farm still didn't have. So, subsequently, like I said, SAPS have come out and said, no, there was a problem with rape kits, but we are dealing with that, and police stations should have. But my question to the CGE would be, if you look at these top 30 police stations, if I'm a commissioner assigned to the Eastern Cape, so I'd go to the Eastern Cape and I'd say, well, in Mthatha, for the 31st of March in 2019, there was no rape kits. What am I doing as a commissioner? Because I have the powers, unlike education officer in the CGE or even a legal officer within the CGE, my power is higher. How am I dealing with the provincial police commissioner, let alone at the station level, where it's been previously recorded that there were no rape kits? They could do spot check and visits and report back to the committee and say, the next time you come, in terms of these top 30 police stations, what can your commissioners, your legal advisors tell us? Has the situation improved? Are there rape kits now within these police stations? Because remember, if you look at the powers of the CGE, they can do this. Still on page 7. So in terms of complaints received, so in terms of complaints, it's not only matters related to GBV. It's important to understand in terms of new cases, closed cases, and pending cases. So as we are in the new quarter of 1920, how many cases were carried over from the previous financial year, 1819, into 1920? And what's been carried over from Q1 to Q2 of 1920. Just moving over to the last page around treaty compliance and the performance of commissioners.
Sorry, you mean njoba kuno 00, it means no rape? I something is wrong here. Something wrong here. Where this forms come from?
Ms. Kola, this information we got directly from SAPS. So when the Portfolio Committee on Police issued their media statement, that was about a month ago, it was based on this. So the Portfolio Committee on Police got for the whole country, for all the police stations, which were the police stations, not just for the last 2 months, but dating back to 2017, which police stations had rape kits. And that was in relation to, I think, there was a question posed by a member from the Democratic Alliance to the Minister of Police to say, can we get a detailed breakdown for each and every police station in the country, how many rape kits that you have? I think the technical explanation, Ms. Kaula, was that the reason why some police stations didn't have rape kits was that it was held at a provincial office. But that wasn't good enough, because if the provincial office is in London and I'm in Tata and tonight something happens, when must I wait for the head office in another city to bring that rape kit? But we were told the situation has improved.
Honourable members, I think maybe we need not dwell too much into this, because this is just a step. And for us, it's just to find out from the commissioners, what are they doing about this thing? Because this thing is not for the CGE actually, it's for the police department. But we want to find out from the CGE, are they monitoring those police stations? Do they go to the police station to find out if the rape kit, as the police department is saying they have allocated those rape kits, are they there? So they can come and present to us that really what the police department is saying is true or not. Let's just give it to Honourable
Chair. I think our role as a committee needs to go further than just asking the CGE, what have you done? The police minister said that they had to stop the contracts because of corruption. That's what he said. And then he said that rape kits will be delivered by the 14th of October. Those were his words. So basically what he's saying is, please don't get raped until the 14th of October, because dololo rape kits. So I think us as a committee, we have to be able to go further and beyond just asking the CGE to do spot checks. Because not having rape kits directly affects those who we are meant to serve. So, Chair, I'd like to just say that maybe going forward we have somebody come to our committee to explain what is going on. Because this is really unacceptable. And I feel like our committee shouldn't only be focused on the Department of Women and the CGE, but it should cut across in all departments and all committees, that we should have the power to call the Minister of Police to our committee so that he can account. It's a problem when people don't account, and now we don't have any rape kits. It's a massive problem.
No, I think, Honorable, you are correct, because it doesn't mean that we have to only oversee the Department of Women, CGE. We have the powers to even call other departments which are relevant to what we are doing to come and present. So I believe we need to agree as a committee that one day we need to call the Department of Police to come and explain to us. Honorable Sonti.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mna okwam ndizothi ne. Ndiyayiva le ndaba le ilapha kwesi sitetsi. Ayikho enough, Chairperson. Okokuqala ndicinga uba there are many police station here in South Africa. I don't think these police stations are equal here in this paper. So, ndicabanga ukuthi masimyeke uNantsintombazana a present acebe. We have many questions to ask, because akuna dolophu engenabantwana abarichwayo each and every day. So, this is not enough. Ndiyamngqinela umntu othi i-Department of Police must come front ize izosicacisela yonke leyo. But for now, bendisithi mna masimyeke akhulume aqede, and then we'll follow by some questions, because we have a lot of questions to ask. Thank you.
But what we must understand is that we don't have to ask questions that are not related to CGE. Please. Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. I think mine is just an addition to what Honorable Sharif has said. I think that it also needs, the oversight also needs to go beyond departments. Ourselves, we've got constituency offices. Within our constituencies, we've got police stations. When I'm in Kokstad, for instance, where my constituency is, I must take it upon myself as well to go and verify the information that we are having here. Because sometimes we are misled by things that are reported, the stats that are reported. You'd find that what you have here is not really what is happening on the ground. So I think we also need to take it upon ourselves as honorable members. When we've got constituency days on Mondays, we go to the nearest police stations and we verify. I think the time now is calling for us to also be on the ground and not only deal with these matters here in boardrooms, where we bring people and we ask them to account and they tell us what is not really realistic on the ground. I think we should do that so that we can report on things that we know and we've seen and we've touched. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think we must give Kashifa to round up because the CG is outside.
Thank you, members. So just on page 8, with treaty compliance, so yes, they're doing lots of work about compiling reports. But again, just to reiterate to members, like we told the department, you don't suddenly wake up in the year that you have to put together a report and now collect the information. The information should be monitored and evaluated all the time. So again, it's to establish from the CGE, how are they collaborating and working with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, because our department is supposed to come up with a country gender indicator framework. So we have several entities within government collecting information for country reports. Surely we should be pooling our resources together, because it's the same information that we're needing to verify and collect. They don't mention anything about the amendment to the SADC gender protocol in Q3, 4, or Q1. We had a presentation last week. It's to find out from the CGE, are they doing anything around the country's intention to ratify the protocol. And again, just to summarize around the performance of commissioners, the provincial gender machineries, it's to hear what's the role of the commissioners in those machineries. We know the department is wanting to revive the national gender machinery. It's to find out, are they involved, to what extent they are involved. So just to, in summary, the two other things which I thought was important. In Q1, the CGE also talks about doing work around socioeconomic empowerment. Bearing in mind that our department has come up with that women's inclusion framework, again, we don't want duplication of work. It's to find out now that the CGE is doing work on socioeconomic empowerment, how are they linking and working with the Department of Women around a framework that has also been developed around economic empowerment. With the work around municipalities, we commend them. So they've identified municipalities where they're working with, they're training, but again, on what basis did they decide which province, which municipality? How are they going to decide which province, which municipality next? And then also, overall, like I've said about evaluation reports and research reports, what's their strategy when they work with municipalities? Are they targeting all senior management and mayors? Do they want to review all IDPs? Do they want to set up gender focal points? Again, we need to hear from the CGE, now that they're working at within local district municipalities, how do they coordinate their work? And then, just in summary, one last issue around media campaigns. To find out what's the role of commissioners when it comes to having the face of the CGE at the province and national level. How are they using their commissioners when it comes to events, key issues consistently across the country? Especially if we think of what has happened around matters related to GBV, we should be hearing commissioners speak on radio stations all the time, not just about the issue, but how they, the public can utilize the services of the Commission for Gender Equality. But you need a strategy for that. We need to hear from the CGE how our Commission is spearheading that provincially and at a national level. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kashim. Do you have something to say?
No, Chi. Just to add, in terms of the correctional services issue that Kashim was talking about, we had conducted a study a few years ago where we actually went to the Portsmouth prison and interviewed women with babies in prisons. So we don't have the most updated data, but just to say that at that time there were about 87 babies living in prisons with their moms. So it's about the CGE picking up on those. In 2013 there were about 16 baby units. So across the country there are baby units in prisons where children under the age of 2 are living with their moms. So it's about maybe just investigating or finding out what the status are of those baby units and the CGE's role in that regard. Also, I've seen the paper that I've done to Neliswa, so she can circulate it to members for information purposes.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Honorable. Okay.
Kashifa, you just mentioned now that the CGE should do more in terms of being in the media for GBV and femicide. Just noting that I haven't heard a word from them in the last week. So I just want to check, did they say something or is it just me or did I just not hear anything?
So I know about 3 weeks ago on Radio 786 we had the new commissioner, Ntaba Singh, she was asked as the commissioner for gender equality to talk about GBV, and she spoke broadly, but I didn't get a sense by the end of that interview what the role of the CGE is, how people who are listening can come to the CGE to lay a complaint, and how the CGE can assist. So that's why my question to the CGE would be, what's your strategy for all your commissioners when it comes to dealing not with GBV but on a range of matters, you know? When you are asked to do a radio interview, what's the protocol and process? So for all of the issues coming from mining to maternal health to transformation within tertiary institutions, there has to be a strategy, and we need to know, okay, out of our X amount of commissioners, this is the person that's leading in terms of GBV. This is the person that's leading in terms of maternal health. So even as members, when you know there's an issue, you can pick up your phone or message and call besides the chairperson of the CGE, but the commissioner was in that province to take up the issue.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions or concerns? Because if they are not there, then we need to call CGE. But bear in mind, honorable members, that we are dealing with quarter 3 and 4 of 2018-2019 and quarter 1, 2019-2020. So we must not get derailed and not ask questions related on this quarter report. Other questions we can ask, but the main aim is to get the CGE to tell us why their targets are not clear, because our content advisors, they could not really find out whether they have met their targets or not because their reporting is not clear.
They've just looked now. The CGE did release a media statement on the 5th of September in relation to the President's announcement. So there is a media statement that was issued.
Are you ready? Okay, thank you. Mam Kaul?
Okay, ngiyabonga sihlalo. Ngibonga presentation yethu kuhlonishwa wethu langaphambili. Sesivumelane ukuthi leli phepha leli likhuluma nge-rap sizoliyeka, sizobuza lutho kubona.
No, Mam Kaula, we don't say asizobuza lutho ngalo. Sizobuza nje ukuthi sazi ukuthi bona lama commissioners wethu benzani kulama police station, bayaya bayo-check ukuthi lezi zinto ezila ziyalungiswa or kanjani. Nale statement esikisho amaphoyisa ukuthi lama rape kit sekayoya kuma police station, umsebenzi wabo bona njengama commissioners bayaya bayo-check na. But on top of that also thina ngokwethu njengama members masiya kuma constituency office, ama constituency wethu, siye nathi kuma police station siyo-check ukuthi lezi zinto lezi iya. So you can ask a question ngayo lezi zinto ma.
Okay, Chairperson, ngiyabonga. Yabona nje ubukhuluma, ukhuluma exactly into umuntu aphezulu ngakwayo. Yabona ingakho ubona ngathi ngiyashiyuma. Ngoba already nginayo mina into eshoyo ukuthi amakhesi amaningi kusho ukuthi kubuyela kulento ukuthi ayareporta ukuthi amaphoyisa akayi kwenza umsebenzi. Futhi ngiyayivuma le yakho Chairperson yokuthi sibuze bona ukuthi baze bayithathe bayilethelana basuke benesiqiniseko esingakanani, ngoba mina lento le ingibangela ngibuka ngenye indlela. Kuyimanje nginama-case lana nama macala khona la athinta even iy'ngane zafa zibulawa umlungu ngoshevu. Kodwa uyiboni vele la zasedandi yenza loo nto. And phinde-ke ngibuyele la kuyimanje sisenkingeni kunogogo abareshiwe nje kuyimanje bahamba bovula amacala baye induna nanisemakhaya induna yo lapho akaze kufike phoyisa akaze kufike lutho. Kusho ukuthi yikho-ke lasigcina sinale nto labo zero. So ngiyabonga sihlalo, kusho ukuthi kuyimanje asibuze bona ukuthi bayithathi nje noma bona bayahamba imiqobo bayobheka ukuthi as njengama-commissioner ukuthi lezi zinto zikhona ziyenzeka baye nalapho na. Ngiyabonga. Okokugcina sihlalo, yilokhu-ke okuthinta amajele ney'ngane-ke mfuno ngikhulume. Yilokho okuthinta iy'ngane namajele. Ngicela i-clarity lapha. Yilezi iy'ngane lo muntu mhlawumbe osuke eboshwe ekhulele bese belethe umntwana bese amtholele ngaphakathi bese behlale nasari yakhona ngabe ukhuluma ngalonto.
Maybe you can answer that one. But maybe before singena kuleyo second question, mom, ngifuna ukashifa I explain ukuthi le document ibuya kuphi. I see a CGE.
Oh, aye, mangase yona angabe sa explain ngizowona ngizokuhamba ngisitshele ukuthi iqhamu ngapha.
Oh, okay.
Sengisho ukuthi lana ngibuyela kule yasemajele. Yabona hlalo. I used to say njalo manje mina kuba kuyangami hlalo. Ngabe isikhathi esiningi asilo sizoxoxa la. Ngabe niyabona la ngaphandle kuyonakala na. And lana sixoxe ngezinto ukuthi imvangela yalento yini, yini khambi. Sicela amaphoyisa, sicela bonke labantu ezohlala laba, neemanzi ziyadingeka makunje. Ngoba kukhona into enzima kabe ezikhona la, even njengoba namantombazana uthole ukuthi ayabulawa. Khona ezinye izinto nathi as government ezibudedenga ukuzona. Ngiyabonga. Oh, Sihlalo,
ngicabanga ukuthi akanokuze ngoba babe nenkinga lapha. Okay.
No, I think now we can call CGE. Mama? Honorable members, next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, we are going to have meetings. Ne? The department will be coming to explain some of the things, the strategic, their strategic plan, and to the council. You still remember we said there's a presidential council, the presidential steering committee, the review committee, and this council. So they must come and explain to us. But we'll see that next week, Tuesday. Thank you.
Awuzami ukuthi-ke niqiniseni sorry nkosazana ami emhlophe Sihlalo lo mnyango lo ophe le management ephethe lapha yana kotolika kuma-interpret inenkinga khona le mshini ephathwayo kuyimanje bithi bi-ten izoqala ngebhetri ngabe alitholakali ibhetri lana ngaphandle. Even nama-document am ngathi angifuna eze ngesiZulu mina ngisebenzela abantu ama-African lami yango. Every time ilungisa lungisa.
Honorable members, the CGE is here. I think we can start with our meeting. Welcome, Commissioner. And I think we are going to have a fruitful discussion today in terms of your quarterly reports. Before we can start, I would like us to introduce ourselves, and you also are given a chance to introduce your team. I will start with the honorable members, and everybody should introduce himself or herself. I am Joyce Witumelo Maluleke, the acting chairperson for this session.
Good morning again. My name is Nelson Obata and I'm the committee secretary. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, CGE. My name is Tabile Masondo, member of this committee.
Malene Sanbanani, Kamalam Dingo Primrose Senti, Nogulunda, the Lilungula Committee, Ekontegla Hengos.
Morning to everyone. Teddy Somkweb, Lilungula Committee.
Sanbanani, Stembile Song, a member of the committee.
Sanbonani Magdalena Duduzile Hlengwa ilunga lale committee.
Good morning, Nazli Sharif, the member of the committee.
Good morning everyone. My name is Bongsen Ngobo, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Sanbonani Bizilaga.
Official. Thank you, Jay. Good morning. I'm Crystal Levendal. I'm the researcher for women.
Good morning. I'm Kashifa Abrams, the content advisor to the committee.
Good morning, Daphne Matthews, researcher focusing on issues with youth.
My name is Lois Lou. I'm a researcher from the Catholic Parliamentary Office.
Morning, my name is Bonata Homolodo. I'm a research intern at CPLO.
Good morning, my name is Sipoka's daughter, secretary to the WIP of the ANC in the study group.
Good morning, my name is Gambelisa Mapundu and I'm a representative of PMG.
The chairperson used to say you are going to write correctly what we are saying. Don't capture anything that we haven't said. The back.
Morning everybody. My name is Uvya Gazipam. Language practitioner is Xhosa in English.
Okay. Hello, Tata.
Sorry, Chair. Morning, honorable members and officials. My name is Sibusiso Sithole from Languages. Thank you.
Over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Whip and Honorable Members. My name is Tamara Matebula. I'm the Chairperson of the Commission for Gender Equality.
Good morning, members. My name is Keke Zoma. I am a CEO CGE.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Moshabi Putu, CFO for the CGE.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Chairperson of the CGE. We are here for the quarterly reports, third, fourth, and the first quarter of
1920. Can you take us through? Thank you very much, Chairperson, and for the opportunity. Yes, let me start nicely. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Whip, and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, on women, youth, and persons with disabilities. I send you greetings from the Commission for Gender Equality. Honorable Chair, I would like to extend our appreciation as the Commission for being invited to come and present to the Portfolio Committee the Commission's progress as well as financial reports of the following quarters. So we will be tabling the third quarter, the fourth quarter as of the previous financial year, 2018 and 2019, and we will also look at the first quarter of the current financial year, 2019-2020, respectively.
Sorry, Chair.
These documents are too many in front of us, so we don't know which document we must play, guide us. And it is Kukile Tina.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Honorable Mam Kaula. Mam Sondi. Oh. Yeah, Kolisa Gwena, Mam Kaula. Kolisa Naguwe, Mam Sondi. The documents that we're referring to, I'm sure in your package, you must have received the third quarter report. Yes, that is the one, 2018-2019. Okay, and we will also be referring to the third quarter, fourth quarter 2018-2019, and then we will cover the first quarter 2019-2020. But I'm just still doing introductions, Mam Sondi. We are still not into the report. I will just quickly do the introduction, and then I will hand over to my colleagues to actually take you through the reports. Thank you very much. Chairperson, the invite comes at a time when we are all decrying disturbingly high levels of gender-based violence, femicide, abduction of women as well as children in our country. The Commission has actually issued a number of statements. We have also seen the President coming out to issue a statement, and it was also encouraging to see a statement that was coming from the chairperson of this portfolio committee as well. And all these statements and everyone out there is actually announcing how we should better respond to the scourge of gender-based violence. And actually we are looking for innovative ways of addressing the scourge of gender-based violence and femicide in South Africa. Honorable Chair, allow me to stick to my knittings, and because if we talk about gender-based violence scourge right now, it's going to take us the whole day. So let me go back to why we are here. Honorable members, you will remember that in accordance to the CGE Act number 39 of 1996 as amended, and if you specifically look at section 15 of the CGE Act, the Commission may, subject to provision of subsection 2 and the Commission's handbook, we shall report to Parliament, which is why we are here. And we report to Parliament, particularly we appear before this committee on a quarterly basis. And we also report to the President, and we will make sure that we report to the President on an annual basis. And these reports may, from time to time, be submitted at any other time when deemed fit to Parliament. Both the requirements for us to report to both the committee as well as Parliament are in line with the accountability requirements and are also in line with the King 3 as well as the King 4 reports, which are about good governance or corporate governance. And we, as the Commission for Gender Equality, are in all the time trying to follow on the 17 principles of the King 4 principles in terms of making sure that we also adhere to sound corporate governance. The King 4 report in particular casts a focused lens on balancing performance evaluation towards achieving the desired good governance outcomes, therefore articulating the benefits of good corporate governance which the Commission aspires to attain. During the third quarter, and during the three quarters under review, because we are reporting quarter three, quarter four, as well as first quarter of this current financial year, the Commission used its constitutional as well as legislative mandates in promoting respect for gender equality in the country. The Constitution clearly states that the Commission for Gender Equality has the power, as regulated by the national legislation, to monitor, investigate, research, educate, and lobby, and as well as report to Parliament through its committee and issues concerning to gender-based violence. As indicated earlier, honorable members, the Commission for Gender Equality, Act No. 39 of 1996, Section 11, gives the Commission the powers to evaluate policies and practices of organs of states at all levels, statutory bodies and functionaries, private sector and institutions to promote gender equality and make any recommendations that the Commission deems fit when necessary. Further, the Commission is mandated to monitor the implementation of not only the national but also regional as well as international instruments signed or acceded to and ratified by South Africa that impact directly and indirectly to gender equality. These include but not limited to the Convention on Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, shortly known as CEDAW, Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action, the Sustainable Development Goals, all the 17 of them, but we have a special focus on a Development Goal 3, which is on healthy lives and well-being, as well as Goal 5, which is about equality and empowerment. And again, if you look at the rest of the Sustainable Development Goals, we look at them because they are all cross-cutting in terms of addressing issues of poverty, education, climate change, just to mention a few. We also are ascribed to AU Agenda 2063 on health and other regional protocols. The Commission aims at transforming the society and institutions, and we investigate complaints, we educate the public, we advocate for promotion and attainment of gender equality. Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Whip, the Commission's quarterly activities for the previous financial year have been included in the annual report that we are currently finalizing. So all the Commissioner's activities are in that report for 2018 and 2019 financial year. And those activities of the four Commissioners that remained during the first quarter of the current financial year, and those four Commissioners who held the fort during this first quarter before appointment of the full committee of the Commissioners have been adopted at plenary last week Friday. We would therefore, Honorable Chair, we would like to upfront indicate that due to the changes in the complement of Commissioners, it would be untenable to present or share the activity reports with the committee in time. The CEO and the CFO, who are seated next to me here, will provide a substantive information on how the Commission has performed in the past three quarters as per the APP 2018-19 as well as APP 2019-2020 respectively, and as per the four broad categories of the strategic objectives enshrined in our strategic plan 2024. And with regards to year-to-year budget allocations, the Commission for Gender Equality has received a total of 80 million during the previous year, 2018-2019. We received 80 million, which was an annual allocation. And for 2019-2020, the Commission for Gender Equality received 85.2 million for this current year. But given the broader mandate of the Commission, the overall budget allocation for the Commission remain inadequate and inadequate for us to fulfill the mandate, the broad mandate. So the Gender Commission cannot adequately cover for human resources. We have certain positions that have been scrapped, existing emerging needs, including programmatic interventions and support services required in all 9 provinces. In conclusion, Chairperson, I want to say that the Commission for Gender Equality will continue to oppose practices that go against the founding values of the Constitution, both in rural as well as urban areas where we are striving to be and to be seen working. And those values that we talk about that are prescribed in our founding constitution are nothing else but the values that revolve around human dignity, achievement of equality, advancement of human rights, as well as freedoms. But also, some values really talk about non-racialism, non-sexism, as well as supremacy of the Constitution and the rule of law. On behalf of the Commission and the Secretariat, Chairperson, I would like to thank you once more for the opportunity to come and present our performance on the previous 3 quarters, all our interventions, looking forward to engaging further in terms of any additional substantive information that the members will require. I thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chairperson and members, I may need just direction because we've got 3 different presentations, and I am aware that many a times whenever I'm presenting, I always get cut off in terms of time frames. So I just wanted us to just have an understanding in terms of whether one can just high level summary in terms of 3rd quarter and 4th quarter, and perhaps put much more emphasis now on the 1st quarter of this current financial year for April to June. I'm not too sure, but I know that many a times time is always against me, even when I'm doing just one presentation. So, Chair, just a bit of guidance there so that I'm able to put my time properly.
Honourable members, I think we should allow her to present, but what you need to do is to highlight critical issues, because we are here to get the report on your performance for the 3rd quarter and the 4th quarter. So you don't have to go to each and every page, but what we are interested in is your set targets. Did you achieve them? You didn't achieve them. What is the reason, and what is your remedial action going forth? I don't know. Honourable members, do you agree on that one? Okay. So you mustn't be so detailed, but highlight some of those things, because really time is not on our side also. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. The 3rd quarter that we'll just be giving highlights on, that obviously is a quarter that also coincides with activities that we would have undertaken during the 16 days. In that particular point in time, in terms of our targets for that particular quarter, we had been able to achieve 64% of the specific targets just for that quarter. So on a quarterly basis, we do go out and calculate, assisted by our internal audit, just to make sure that the numbers are correct based on evidence that we put before them. And for that particular quarter, we were sitting at 64%. And when we look at that particular quarter specifically, we had a bit of a dip in terms of work that needed to be done. There were some disciplinary processes that we were undertaking at that particular point in time, and so work that was in those, in some of those areas were affected, and we have had to ensure that we put teams in place who would then do the work. And specifically here, we were looking at the work that was being done by the parliamentary unit, which is based in our Cape Town office here, and there were quite a number of activities that needed to be done that looked into our SDGs and some of the reports that the parliamentary unit was going to put forward. And we then had to put teams in place, and we will see when we report for fourth quarter that there was actually an improvement. So that's one of the things that we had to put in place, just to ensure that work is done. And so when we report for the fourth quarter or for the whole of the financial year, we are able to then show some of the areas of improvement where we would have been able to take some of the things forward. We, for that particular quarter as well, that's the time, or in this financial year, that's when we had started to work with PenSouth in the Free State specifically, where we were working on the gender terminology project. And that project was finalized, and we were able to then launch it with various partners in the Free State, even on social media and all that. So there was a booklet that we were able to produce that looks at gender terminology. And it was gender in Setswana. So that's the program that when we reported in this particular portfolio committee for the financial year or the current financial year, we indicated that we are now going to roll out that particular project, taking into account the fact that this year is deemed the year of the languages. And so that's when we started that particular process, and that's one of the things that we had done. Just from administrative point of view, there were quite a number of systems that we were putting in place that will assist and ensure that we are able to do service delivery much quicker and much more efficiently. And the first one in point was the one that we were dealing with in terms of performance management of our own internal colleagues. And what we were doing there is to try and ensure that we rearrange and we overhaul the system that we had previously, because when after piloting and doing quite a number of assessments, there were some weaknesses that were identified at that point in time. And so the idea was then for us to overhaul and ensure that we have a much more concrete and efficient process. And we will still be indicating in terms of how far and what the work has been thus far in terms of that. That does not in any way mean that we are not able to track performance. It just means that our performance management system within HR system is done manually instead of being done on a system. So what we were trying to do is to try and put a system in place so that we can be able to have a properly linked system and not a paper-based system. And of course, from finance at that point in time, we were also coming up with a caseware, a system that will assist us to generate our annual financial statements much more quicker. So those were the improvements. And of course, we are still, for that financial year, we are still piloting the complaints management system that was in place. So those were the basic systems that we were working on that we were trying to put in place.
I've already highlighted 24 the percentage for this particular quarter. There are some reports, Chair, that I will not sit too much on, because, for instance, the assessment of women's participation and representation in political parties had two phases. The first phase was the work that we were doing when we were looking at political party manifestos and all those other processes, and the second phase related to us looking into and observing the actual elections that took place in May. So that particular activity falls between the two financial years of the two reporting timelines. There was work that we were doing during the third quarter and the fourth quarter, and there is work that we have just now finalized in terms of the first quarter of this current financial year. So as indicated, when we were looking at a number of political parties, in some instances we were not necessarily at the time, you know, happy with some of the issues that were coming in terms of their various manifestos and all the other processes. And in the fourth quarter, in fact, we then were able to call on the political parties to come and appear before us and engage with them on some of the issues that we had. At the time as well, we had the plight of women in correctional services facilities. It was a specific a program that we were undertaking. It was the second financial year for us to be looking into these correctional facilities. And the assessment that we were doing, we were looking specifically in this financial year for facilities at Durban Westville, in KZN, we were looking at Potchefstroom in the Northwest, and Toyando Correctional Services in Limpopo. And in that financial year, or in that quarter, starting from, members will see when we were reporting from the second quarter of that financial year, one of the biggest issues that we heard was the fact that the DG of the department at that time was not necessarily very responsive. It took us to actually threaten at the time them with a subpoena, that we were only being able to be given access, because you can't just go into some of these facilities. We need the DGs, the accounting officers, to grant us access, and that's one of the things that we struggled with, and that had some delays in terms of the work that we were doing at the time. However, when we report for the fourth quarter, members will see that particular report was finalized. In fact, last week, Thursday, we were called by the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services to go and do a presentation specifically on that report in terms of the findings, and the Department of Correctional Services itself was in that particular meeting. And so, Chair, I think that really highlights, you know, the work in terms of some of the reports that we were doing. In terms of gender transformation investigation hearings, we at that time we were going to be holding investigation or transformation hearings specifically on procurement. The idea in that financial year was we were aware that there is policies that are put in place that are very specific in terms of ring-fencing 30% of procurement budget to women-led service providers. And so we then decided to select specific departments that we were now going to be engaging with to check whether they abide with these particular policies. And at that time, we were looking at rural development and land reform. We were looking at health, social development, and basic education. And so we held those particular activities then. As well, part of what we were doing at the time was also to look into issues around systemic violations. We had received at the time quite a number of complaints that were coming from some of the shelters, specifically Ikhaya Letemba in Gauteng, and there were issues that were coming out in terms of how they were treating LGBTIQA plus communities that were victims of violence and were housed in that particular shelter. But as well, we had issues in terms of, you know, other victims raising issues of abuse and being victimized or having secondary victimization, as it were, in those centers. And then we then decided to do quite a number of work looking into shelters, and that is why in the fourth quarter you will see that we were able to then come up with a report, which report we were able to finalize and is out there, and we've seen quite a huge take-up in terms of what came out of that particular report. And we were still at the time also finalizing some work that we had done in terms of institutions of higher learning, transformation in tertiary institutions. There was work that we were doing in this particular financial year, where we were looking at the last and almost new institutions of higher learning that were put in place, having gone through the whole process year in, year out, selecting specific institutions of higher learning that we'll be engaging with. And we were now at the time looking at Saul Plaatje, we were looking into Nelson Mandela and the University of Zululand, and we were then we have a report. You'll see in the fourth quarter that the report was then finalized. So, Chair, I think that, in a nutshell, do indicate some of the work that we did. We had our advocacy and outreach clinics that we usually have, and we were able to also reach our numbers as far as that is concerned. And there were quite a number of issues that were coming up in terms of that work, including, you know, the issue around withdrawals of some of the cases, issues around domestic violence, issues around the delay that is there in our criminal justice system on DNA results, which then in turn also take a bit of time. And so, Chair, you will see, and members, that after some of these engagements, that's the reason why in the first quarter we actually set and called the national, we subpoenaed the national police commissioner, as well as all the other provincial commissioners, because we had had issues that we had picked up in a number of engagements in all the various provinces in terms of either monitoring the cases or what we picked up when we were doing our outreach and legal clinics. Chair, that in a nutshell is the work that we did, and I'm not going to too much in terms of, but I would rather get some questions if there are specific questions on that particular report. There's work that we did. We have also tried to put in the table for members just to see specific process for that particular time. So that concludes quickly, Chair, the work that we did as far as the fourth quarter of 2018 is concerned. I don't know, Chair, whether then I'm supposed to move quickly to the fourth quarter in terms of the work that we did, or whether, Chair, there are some specific questions that members would want to pose just specifically on this particular report that we have just placed before the committee.
Honourable members, do you continue with the other quotas? Honourable members, Chairperson, I'd like to suggest that we continue. But before we continue, Chair, I just want to maybe say a general comment that applies to all the other presentations on the packaging of the information, because myself, I'm struggling to now capture specifically that I get that because we're here to assess the performance of the quotas, Now, I'm struggling myself to correctly assess. We get the, and appreciate the work that is being done. But out of this presentation, and I think it's going to apply to the others, I cannot tell that out of, I can say that there's a 64% general achievement of the targets, but we don't know that you had said that this is what you were going to do. You were not able to do 64, you are left with 36. Which is the step 36 that you were struggling with exactly, and why, what resulted for the non-achievements of those 34, of which I don't know that out of this 100%, which is the 64 that was achieved, which is the 36 that has not been achieved, why hasn't it been achieved, and from there, what is the way forward in terms of remedying the situation in terms of the non-achievements of the 36 remaining targets. So I'm struggling to ascertain that information, and I'm seeing it also going to be a reoccurrence on the two other presentations for quarter four and quarter one for 2019-2020. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, Honorable Masiko, I think you are correct, because I was just trying to get their APP. Checking on their APP, the quarters that they are reporting, the third quarter. If you check the APP and you check what they are reporting now, it doesn't really match. We don't know whether you have achieved this target or not, and if you have not, what is the reason and what is the way forward on remedying the situation. I'm not sure, because it's too much English, and it confuses us, really. It's not only Honorable Masiko's confused. I'm also confused. I don't know with other members. Because I think what we were saying is to highlight your targets that you have set yourself. Did you achieve them? If not, what is the reason and what is the way forward? But for you just to, I'm not sure, but maybe let's give her another chance to report on all the quarters, but really, just pick up what you have set for yourself for that quarter. Did you achieve it? You didn't achieve, and what is the reason, and what is the way forward? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think what we tried to do, and perhaps that's what I must zoom on, but now I see that it's not coming out. In each of the presentations, we've tried to create some hyperlinks and print out a specific table. A specific table that gives a progress. Like, for instance, in some of the presentations, we'll have a first quarter APP a table highlighted, and this is the table. But now it's not coming up on my screen, because that's the actual table that is able to then assist us in terms of.
I don't know. That's why Mom Swanty said you must tell us which documents are we going to use. Because if we're using this one, the third quarter report, I don't see any table here. And even also the you have the strategic objective 1 and then 2. But I don't see the other strategic objective number 3, and I don't know. But if it's this one, is this document, then there's a problem. I think maybe next time, Honorable Members, we must ask the department, even our entities, when they report, they must not give us lot of documents, because they confuse us. They must give us documents that we're going to talk to the
targets? At least maybe if you give us the APP so that we can check. You said on quarter one we are going to do 1, 2, 3. Then you talk to that quarter. But if we have got, we have got too much documents here, I'm not sure.
I understand that, Chair, but I think it would be easier when we deal, like, with one quarter. I think the confusion here as well is because we are dealing with two quarters already. So what I'm trying to explain is when we would do a presentation, and in this presentation we try just to summarize. But in order to give members a sense against a set APP, then we do have a hyperlink, and we do would then give a separate document that is APP document that almost looks like the one that you are holding, WIP, almost a document like that for each of the quarters, because then it becomes easier. That document is an APP, but it gives you a sense of achieved, what was not achieved, and if we have not achieved, we are then able to say why we did not achieve that. So that's the process. I apologize. I think it's because we have so many documents in this current quarter. There's that confusion. But the idea is not to have an unnecessary confusion. It's for us in the presentation to give a global picture, but also then zoom into the, or have an APP table that members would have had a chance to go through and then see progress on each of the quarters and see where we have not achieved, we also give reasons. But as well, just to answer the WIP, when I started right at the beginning for this presentation for third quarter, I indicated the reasons that we could not meet some of the targets, and I highlighted that the targets that we did not meet related to the reports that we were going to do as far as the protocol, the SADC, the SDGs are concerned, and even the charter. And I indicated that because at that time we were having a disciplinary process of this one colleague in that unit that was work could not be done. However, because of that, we then set up teams made up of researchers and other colleagues from other departments to pick up that work as we were going through that particular disciplinary process. And that's really basically, in the main, the reason that we were not able to reach some of the targets. And as well, I've indicated that we had reported from first quarter and second quarter before this particular committee at the time, indicating that we had access issues at correctional services, and that also affected some of the work. We have had to do catch up for the third quarter and the fourth quarter because the DG had not given us access to go to the correctional services so that we can be in a position to assess. And we had also placed it on record before the committee as well in terms of those difficulties that we were having at the time. So those are basically the activities that ran behind in that particular quarter that rendered the work a little bit difficult. But I apologize for all these documents, a lot of documents that are here. It's just that it's an unusual situation. We are dealing with two quarters of last financial year and now, but members will see when I get, for instance, to the first quarter, we'll then be able to cross-reference properly on some of these things. Thanks, Chair.
We are going to put
a folder. Yes, Chair. Is it? No, this is quarter three. I'm just trying to. Sorry, Chair, I'm just trying to quickly access the presentation quickly.
you. I just didn't have my one. Okay, you do have it on paper. I'll just carry on so that hopefully when it comes up, it's written fourth quarter report, January to March, and attached to that was a table. I'll tell you what the attached to that we send a draft annual. It's a first draft annual performance information table. So attached to that presentation, there should be a table like this. Obviously, it will be separate because it's separate documents. But that table document should, the heading should be first draft annual report information. So that will be the presentation and this table, which is an APP table that is titled First Draft of Annual Performance Information. No, not second. Second would be for the other quarters. There's a specific one that has a title First Draft of Annual Performance Information. Yes.
No, it's a separate document.
Yes, it's a separate document.
Yes,
No. It's written on top of the table. It's written first draft of annual performance information. So we are using that one in the presentation that is written. Yes. It must be fourth quarter. The one that is written fourth quarter. So you discuss everything else, and now we're just zooming into fourth quarter and a first draft of performance information. So we've circulated that particular table as a way to give a sense in terms of where we are at as far as the work is concerned. And honorable members, my table is not coming up, so my problem is the table does not come up, but it's fine, members have got it, so I can look at it from my computer as I talk to it. Thank you. The first quarter, chairperson and honorable members, is the work that we did for the fourth quarter, but also taking into account the fact that it's the last year of the financial year, we had to then give a full report on the APP itself. Because of the fact that the fourth quarter we report cumulatively, so that we are not out of touch as far as the audit is concerned. So that's why you will see the tables that we have attached and the tables that I'll speak to a little bit later are giving a full perspective of all the work and progress in terms of activities that we do fully for that full financial year. For the reporting period,
we were able to highlight that 81% of planned targets were achieved. And as we had highlighted in the previous, we have had to put teams together to ensure that we pull a specific department that was behind, and that was behind due to the fact that there was some disciplinary processes that were going on in that particular unit. And we indicate the work that we did, the collaborations that we've did throughout the term, engaging with various institutions. In the previous reporting time frames, members will see that at some point there was a specific African Gender and Development Index report that the Commission had produced. And during this particular time, that's when we were then required by the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa to come and then engage with them on that particular report. So that's one of the things that we are highlighting for this quarter in terms of the work that we did. And really the work was all about examining population trends and age structural transitions in South Africa. Well, you know, issues that relate to demographic dividends specifically, and identify and prioritize problems standing against harnessing demographic dividend with a particular focus on gender. So that report is there. That report we lodged it with this parliament, and so we had been approached by that commission to then engage on specific work and some of the things that needed to be done. In that particular quarter as well, there's been quite a lot of work that we were doing around women, peace and security. And this is because at the point when we produced our CGE CEDAW report, one of the things that we were concerned about at the time was the fact that government at the time had not done anything in terms of coming up with some sort of action plan as far as women, peace and security was concerned. When we had asked them questions specifically on this work, the only thing that they would tell us that they are doing when it comes to peacekeeping missions was to say we ensure that when troops go out, we send 50-50. And that was not enough when you look at what 1325 was doing. And so there was quite a lot of work that we did, which we were quite happy that Department DECO was able to then pick up, which is why in August this year, they were able to put forward an NAP or a plan on women, peace and security. That's because of some of the work that we were doing previously, trying to push and ensure that we are able to have a plan of action in place as a country that will ensure that women are also included on processes around peacekeeping missions. So, Chair, just moving, just to give, I'm just going to skip some of the things. I'm hoping that if there are questions, we will be able to then respond to those questions specifically. It is always important that we give a feedback in terms of what exactly we have done on a quarterly basis on some of the projects that we are doing or that we are working with. And so in this quarter, I had reported for the assessment of women's political representation, the fact that in the third quarter we are just analyzing some of the manifestos. And so in this quarter, we then called on all parties to come and appear before us at Pactonian Hotel so that we can have engagements in terms of some of the issues that we had. The biggest concern that we had when we were engaging with political parties at this point in time was the fact that most of the political party leaders did not really come forward to engage with the commission.
So,
did this on the third quarter and then you did it again on the fourth quarter?
No, Chair. We have specific activity per quarter. On the third quarter, I said we manifestos were out and we analyzed the manifestos. And then on the fourth quarter, we put out subpoenas to call all the party leaders to come and engage with us so that we can share our concerns, specifically knowing that we are leading into the second a process which falls within the first quarter, which looks into the actual elections and the results of the elections. So we try, and it's impossible for all at once to do everything. So we categorize in the third quarter, we had analyzed, because the manifestos had just come out, we had been able to analyze manifestos, and we had manifesto analysis document that was before the commission. And out of that, then we decided to subpoena or call. We didn't subpoena them. In fact, we just called wrote to all the party leaders and requested that they come and engage with us in terms of what our findings were on the analysis and in terms of communicating what we would hope we would see after 8th of May 2019, which would have been after elections. So, Chair, at this stage, we are now reporting specifically on the deliberations that took place between the Commission and the party leaders that were there. Out of that process, Chair, one of the issues that we had was the fact that there seemed to have not been policies in place. And in fact, at the time when we were having specific engagements with political parties, there had just been quite a number of uproar as far as some of the parties not necessarily having sexual harassment policies in place. And so we had requested some parties to come, and some representatives were there, except the Freedom Front Plus did not send anybody at the time to come and engage with the commission in terms of some of the issues that we had. In that engagement, we also shared with political parties in terms of some of the processes, previously, this is how we were looking, these are the issues that we have indicated and engaged with you as far as office bearers are concerned, the numbers and all that. So we're basically engaging with all the political parties with the hope that we will be in a position to get a newer or glean into a new process come after 8th of May. We had engagement. We were assessing also traditional leaders, and that report is also finalized, Chair. It's with this parliament, and we are hoping that we will be having engagements. We will be launching it formally in September, because it's Heritage Month, so we will be engaging on that in terms of some of the issues that we found. Chair, the one thing that I want to highlight to members as well is, I suppose, House of Traditional Leaders across are also, you know, part of the broader society, and some of the issues that we've been indicating that broader society struggles with, they are also upon the House of Traditional Leaders. There are quite a number of issues that we unearthed that relates to sexual harassment in that particular report. And so what we have done is, our legal department now, having the researchers unearthed as they were doing the work and the assessment from gender mainstreaming perspective, unearthed sexual harassment issues. So our legal is working there to try and see what to do as far as those sexual harassment issues that were highlighted or that came out. And so there are quite a number of issues that we have unearthed, that we all know in terms of cultural hostility, and the fact that from culture perspective, in some instances, there is a problem as far as gender equality is concerned. So we've got quite a number of things that were revealed, Chair, I won't go through all that, but I am happy to take questions because we have highlighted in terms of some of the issues. We are still having issues around quotas within the traditional leaders that is upcoming. We're still having many of the traditional houses or leaders that were not familiar with issues of sexual and reproductive rights that actually affect their own communities, and so it goes. So those are some of the issues that we are hoping that as we now launch this particular report, because it was finalized, that we will then be able to have issues and highlight some of the matters. And for the financial year as well, I indicated in the third quarter, we then finalized for this quarter as well the plight of women in correctional services. And we do still have issues around overcrowding. Obviously, that's the biggest thing that was there. We still have a lot of officials that are not able to handle some of the health-related and sexual and reproductive health issues as it affects women prisoners or female prisoners. There are still those issues that are coming out. Many cases of female inmates with mental health issues are identified, but prison officials are usually not in a position to really be able to handle some of the problems that come with that. In some correctional services, the screening of inmates and at entry point is susceptible to lapses, mainly due to reliance on ordinary nursing staff without the necessary medical expertise and all that. So the report is there. I was just trying to highlight, because this is the fourth quarter, this is the last quarter of the year, this is where we have already analyzed, just to highlight what is going to come out in the published report. And that published report has already been put or lodged with this particular parliament. And we also have programs where each time we are able to release a report, we release a report, we lodge it with parliament, and then we then go back and engage on that particular report with all the various people that we had or would have been assessed in each of the report. And so we had the mining sector in the previous year, and we were then engaging with mining, some of the mining institutions in terms of some of the issues that we've had or that we would have found. And the systemic investigations, Chair, that we were still dealing with, we dealt with them for the whole of the financial year. The transformation of the judiciary, we have a report that was there. And in this particular financial year, we struggled for the full financial year to get the Department of Justice and Department of Women at the time, in the presidency at the time, to be able to take forward some of the recommendations. Because in as much as we put reports out, we then go back to those reports and we engage with the people that are affected by this report in terms of just checking how far the work was. And we had released also a report on sex workers and their abuse at the hands of the SAPS. We had, as an institution, come out with a decriminalization of sex work paper, and we spent quite a lot of time in the previous financial year engaging with the Women's Caucus. We were called by the Women's Caucus and all the other relevant portfolios to engage in light of what the South African Law Reform Commission had put out as a position that the country should then follow. And I spoke about the shelter investigation. That particular report was then finalized in this particular quarter, and that's why we were able to launch the report, and that's why we've seen quite a number of take-up as far as the media is concerned. And so I'm not going to read through these things. I've tried to just highlight and give a high-level summary in terms of the work that we did along all these other processes. Safe to say, I didn't speak to
I didn't speak to the maternal health. In the maternal health, we had a particular complaint that we had where disabled women indicated that when they went going into health facilities, in some instances they were forced to sterilize. And so we've been going through that investigation for quite some time. We firstly had a preliminary report that the Department of Health then demanded that they wanted to do their own investigation just to verify some of the facts and some of the issues that we were putting on the table. They did so. They went out. They got an advocate to assist them. And but now we have finalized that particular report, and we have now given them that final report for them to once and for all have a glance in it, and we're hoping that at least it would speak to some of the issues that their own advocate would have then unearthed as we go along. I spoke about the shelters, where it came in terms of the LGBTIQA plus issues in terms of some of the shelters, and so that also provoked us to then look into the shelters broadly, but also look into DSD to say what is your mandate at national, what is happening, and we have a report that we have produced. We are now going into the, in October, we are actually now going to be calling National Treasury from a budget point of view, DSD, and all the other stakeholders, and Human Settlement, just to see what everybody should be doing. We have given recommendations in this particular report in terms of what all of them must do. So in October, we'll be following through to see how far they are and what it is that they are doing on as far as those recommendations are concerned. And of course, like any other quarter, we still continue to look into issues pertaining to legal clinics, the outreach clinics. There were issues that were raised. And normally some of those issues, we then take them up either by coming up with new activities to see what needs to be done, or highlighting who are the office bearers that we should be calling to engage with them on some of the issues that we are finding on the ground as we do a lot of work. And we're engaging with municipalities as well from gender mainstreaming perspective. And there were issues. We did outreach throughout. We had a radio program that we normally have. And in the previous previous portfolio committee had always wanted us to always have a sense of how many people were reached, i.e. look into the numbers as and when we do outreach and engagements out there. And so we have gotten into that process of ensuring that every other quarter we are able to do that, including even looking into the actual results or the actual areas that we have reached. So I'm not going to open those documents and also highlight some of the stakeholders that we have worked in and some of the social media issues. And out of this process, Chair, then we have attached that particular table, first draft. It's just not coming up, but I will speak to it. First draft of annual performance information. This is a full table for the full financial year that then gives a sense of what are the activities that we had set right from the beginning and how far we are. Under strategic objective one, members will see that there are quite a number of reports that related to SDGs, the African Charter, and some of the engagements that we needed to do. But as well, we were also focusing on health in this particular financial year. Our theme was health, as we had highlighted, and we were able to achieve and come up with those reports. And the idea, especially for the SDGs, was the fact that we knew that South Africa was going for voluntary reporting in September, and so we needed to have something that will be give us or allow us to assess whether what the country report is putting on the table is exactly what we found as far as work is concerned. Our work as well relates to reviewing and evaluating legislation, and we had work that we did as far as the submissions were concerned. However, due to the fact that Parliament rose, because one of the things that we wanted to do or that we always strive to do, which is why whenever we engage with this committee, we try as much as possible to highlight the reports that we have lodged with this Parliament or that we have released. The idea is to have space with the committee to now engage on those substantive reports and just concentrating on the reports. So there was some work that we wanted to do as far as, you know, some of the submissions were concerned or some of the gender-sensitive issues, but we could not be able to engage with Parliament. I think we were able to engage with the PC for DSD. We were able to engage with PC for Higher Education on some of the transformation reports that we have with higher, with institutions of higher learning, and the department was also there. But some of the things that we had hoped would be able to be called and to be engaging with, we're able to engage, I think, with COCTA in that same financial year as far as our report on municipality of Uthukela was concerned. But the idea is we want as much as possible to be able to engage. I already highlighted in terms of the gender transformation the two reports that we were working on. I've highlighted the institutions of higher learning that we did, as well as the procurement. And so those reports were achieved and they were finalized. I've engaged and highlighted the work that we did as far as the number of monitoring and evaluations report were concerned, and I've given members a glance or a high-level a response or report in terms of what came out of the traditional sector report, what came out of the correctional services report, what came out of the health and some of the issues that we were dealing with, which will then conclude the work that we needed to do under Strategic Objective 1. And under Strategic Objective 2, there were also quite a number of reports that we needed to put out more on the work that we were doing with our outreach colleagues and the work that we were doing in terms of engaging with the municipalities from a gender mainstreaming a perspective, and the work that we were doing with radio community radio stations from the outreach perspective. Part of what we also do is to ensure, when you look into investigations, and which is why in our reports we always try and strive to highlight the percentages of what we have done each and every quarter. It's because there is a specific indicator for legal department that talks about the percentage of complaints that would have been attended to in each of the quarters, and that's why we have those charts and those tables that speak to those, and there are numbers there, and so we have been able to look into that, and work was done. I've spoken about the JSC report and some of the issues that we did from our side, even though we're still hoping that specific departments will come back to us in terms of highlighting what they have done or how they're going to take forward some of the recommendations. And so members should not be worried, because we will keep going back to some of the reports that we have lodged with this Parliament every now and again, trying to check how far that work has been done, or what the departments that were being assessed or the private sector that was assessed, how far they have gone. Stakeholder engagements, we are supposed to have 36 stakeholder engagements, and we were able to have those 36 and in each quarter we try and extrapolate. That's why in the summary, a presentation that I have, I try and highlight some of the issues that are coming out as we are having these engagements with communities, and where we are able to assist in terms of bringing specific departments in place. In areas, for instance, like Mpumalanga, whenever we have engagements and issues of widowhood and all that come out, then we are able to engage with the masters and everyone else and bring them on board as far as those engagements are concerned. And strategic objective 3, at the time in that financial year, we only had 3 strategic objectives. The 2 that were service delivery related, and the 3rd one was an internal looking one that was looking at some of the work and some of the things that we didn't do. For that financial year, when you look at the 4th quarter, under strategic objective 3, one work that we could not do was the work that related to us coming up with a knowledge management strategy. Members will see if they read the 20-year review report that we did in order to assess, to try and assess ourselves to say in 20 years where are we and what are some of the weaknesses, what are the things that we should harness and really uplift. It was very clear that our knowledge management was not very assisting and helpful. A lot of people just, this wealth of information, it's in inboxes and everywhere else, and we are not able to have a proper knowledge management. So we were not in that financial year. That's the one thing that we closed the financial year that we were not able to do. It related to knowledge management. And the key issue here is, when we looked at it, because we are so used to doing work ourselves internally, we had said it's something that we will do. And we had requested that our colleagues from the research department assist us in coming up with the strategy. But when we then tried to look, for information to see how should we start, what needs to be done, then we actually realized that it's a little bit of a complicated subject that we may not be able to do it properly, and so we could not achieve or do that. And then we had then agreed that we will have to then look at means in this financial year to see who can assist us so that we are able to have a proper knowledge management, instead of thinking that we may be able to do it. And it was a new indicator in that financial year. So, Chair, that concludes even from that table to give a sense in terms of some of the activities that were achieved for the full financial year, because now this is reporting for the 4th quarter, and we've tried to then highlight everything that was done in that financial year. Thanks, Chair. I'm not sure if I can quickly now move to the 1st quarter.
Going to the 1st quarter, please summarize, because we have taken a long time. Before you can, through you, Chairperson, I had at the beginning of the meeting requested to be excused at 12, as there's a meeting that I'll be going to. I have some questions that maybe we would park and then probably discuss after the 4th quarter. Sorry, the 1st quarter. I might be back by then if the meeting goes well, but maybe not. Then we'll get a report from the committee. I think, Honorable Masiko, you can just raise your questions and then. Thank you, Chair. The first one, Chairperson, is just to request UCGE to assist us with the submission of reports on time, because if reports are not submitted on time, we're unable to process them. These reports we received late on Friday afternoon, which is quite a challenge because we've got other things that we need to do on weekends. The understanding is that there is the reporting framework of submitting documents to Treasury, and the submission of these reports, specifically the 3rd and the 4th, is April. So I don't know what then was done between that. So it's a first request that we receive the reports on time. The second one, Chairperson, I know that commissioners are not obliged to attend, maybe because of cost-cutting measures, but maybe it would also assist if we could also meet other commissioners, specifically those that are residing in the Western Cape, for them to attend these portfolio committee meetings, because I think that Chairperson do also assist you when you're having your meetings, you know, to better engage with others that are actually present here and we're able to engage them as well as the committee. That's the second one. The third one, Chair, it is a request, CEO, that maybe moving forward we package the information better. We have received here, you've given us the first draft of the annual performance, but we had actually requested for it to be packaged like this for the third quarter and the fourth quarter. This, I think, is what we had requested for. But I know that it has come as an annual and not the quarterly, the quarterly report. Chair, in terms of the unmet targets, we do need a clear explanation as to why those unmet targets have been, I think we've discussed that, have not been met. And are there any that have been carried over to the new financial year? The last one, Chairperson, is in terms of the gender-based violence activities or outreach programs that are being done by the by CGE. Are we measuring any impact? I'm really interested in that because we know that now we are, it's almost as if we're fighting a losing battle, and we need to be doing a lot where we are, but equally so, we need to be able to assess the impact of the strategies that we are implementing, and if they are not working, then we are able to go back to the drawing board and look into other new strategies of or approaches to dealing with gender-based violence. I do have a lot, Chair, but I'll stop there because I'm working against time. Thank you. We have captured everything that she said. You can continue with the first quarter report, but please, just summarize.
Whenever I'm asked to summarize, I always have a heart attack because I never know where to start.
One of the things is they are repeating each other, so you don't have to go there.
Yes, Chair. So when this sixth parliament opened, we were called to appear before this erstwhile committee, and we were able to then highlight the APP activities for the full financial year of 2019-2020. And so we are just going to give a sense in terms of where we are at. The change in terms of where we were in the previous financial year and the current financial year is the fact that we have a strategic objective. We have four strategic objectives instead of three strategic objectives like we had previously. And so the work we were able to do about 76% in terms of the work that was done. And when you look at this, it was also a bit of a dip, especially when you look at it against the very
first quarter of the previous financial year. The very first of the quarter of the previous financial year, we were sitting at 81%. But in this new financial year, the first quarter, we are sitting at 76%. And a lot of work that we could not do for this particular quarter that may have made us to be able to lose ground is the submissions that we do to Parliament. If you look into our APP, we are very specific in terms of how many submissions we would want to undertake and give a lens, a gender lens on those submissions. But because Parliament only came up after the or opened or rose after the first quarter had ended, we had not done any work as far as the bills that passed through Parliament are concerned. There is some work that we had done in terms of bills, but more the engagements were with the South African Law Reform Commission. So that work that we had thought we would be able to do as far as the bills that passed through Parliament, that was not done, and we are hoping that now that Parliament is up and running and functional, we will then be in a position to catch up in terms of some of the bills and amendments and submissions that we would want Parliament to look into. So that's the main issue as far as the work is concerned. So if you look at Strategic Objective 1 from the APP, there's a section where we talk about submission that passed to Parliament. We were not able to do that at all. We did some of the submissions, but they had nothing to do with Parliament. We did some sexual offences processes and some of the Ukutwala submissions specifically on what the South African Law Reform was doing, but nothing was done as far as Parliament bills are concerned, as Parliament was not there as yet. And so for the financial year, Chair, we are still continuing with the engagements as far as transformation with institutions are concerned. We have seen quite a lot of work that we've done, especially with with institutions of higher learning, had made quite a lot of work, you know, to be unearthed. For instance, the department, together with HearAids, were able to come up with some sort of policy that is able to force institutions of higher learning to do something about gender-based violence, even though we are not quite happy because it was a draft, it was there, and we still don't know what the vice-chancellors have done with that particular work. And so we still have concerns. However, for this financial year, we then decided to say, let's now go down and look into what TVET colleges are doing. And so there are quite a number of TVET colleges that we have chosen that we'll be looking into. It's quite interesting also to tell members that I think these communities or community of institutions have their own forums where they engage. So we've seen even some of those TVETs that we had not necessarily chosen in our study, because we can't do all of them due to budget constraints. We've seen some of them, for instance, Central University of Technology in the Free State, approaching us voluntarily to then say they want us to engage with them on some of the work that needs to be done. And I'm just talking, Chair, more on, you know, impact on some of the work that we had done. And we are highlighting why we're saying there's some sort of impact. For the mere fact that people are now approaching us voluntarily to say, please come and assist us, it's clear that they are aware that they can be called by to come and account before the Commission at any given point in time. And I talked about previously the mining report that we did. And that mining report, when we look at institutions such as African Rainbow Minerals, which is, by the way, run by black people, it was quite disheartening at that time to see that they were not doing anything as far as gender mainstreaming and gender transformation was concerned. So we took them up. We had some recommendations. I must say we are quite happy because
there's been a lot of work that they have put into this process, and they've now even included their own subsidiaries, even though we didn't go to some of those subsidiaries. We've been to the Northern Cape, we've been to Mpumalanga, we've been to the Limpopo work, various mines that are there that are really taking up this work serious. So through this particular quarter, they were able to call us for us to actually see what they are doing as a way to give us feedback in terms of the recommendations that we had done previously. And so, Chair, I'm just highlighting there's a lot of work that we did in the knowledge that, or in anticipation that there will be the climate change bill that will be coming through this sixth parliament. So we've been working with communities and specifically women led NGOs or community-based organizations on the ground from the Vaal area, from Carltonville, from Soweto, that are working into issues around climate change and some of the issues that they find. And the idea of this work that we were doing, we want, when we then input or make a submission into the climate change bill, that we are doing so not just, you know, from a desktop knowledge, but because we have actually gone on the ground and have engaged with women, and so their voices will actually, and their experiences will actually be in our submission. So we have a reports out of the dialogues that we're having, but those reports are basically so that when the bill then comes through this parliament, we are able to look at it. Our understanding is that it's still with business and all those other processes, but we are also gearing ourselves and getting ready to ensure that when it reaches parliament, that we will then be able to do what needs to be done. Chair, in terms of the work that we have done for the previous financial years, the issue of sexual harassment, and especially in the workplace, has been coming up a lot of times. We've highlighted and experienced it when we were doing assessment in the mining sector. Our reports were able to highlight that there's a big problem of sexual harassment, and our legal then went after research had identified. I've also indicated that when we were doing the traditional leaders assessment, there's also issues of sexual harassment that came up. And so for this financial year, we thought that it may just be important that we come up with a sexual harassment guide that employers will be able to undertake and deal with deal with these matters, because a lot of matters get swept under the carpet. We also have complaints that are coming from the public sector. We had a complaint that we were dealing with from some of the auditing firms and all that. So we were so quite happy when we engaged with the ILO, the fact that in June there was that adoption of violence and harassment instrument in the workplace that was then adopted, and we are hoping that South Africa will be able to deposit as soon as possible so that then that particular instrument will come alive. But we see it as something that is already harnessing the work that we wanted to do as far as the guide is concerned. We have drafted the guide, and we are yet to engage now in the second quarter with various people that are working in the sector just to ensure that we did not leave anything out, and then we will then take it out and engage with various stakeholders to ensure that public and private employers are able to abide by it, and we will then hold them to account as far as that is concerned. As indicated, Chair, we spoke about the representation of women's participation in political parties, and I indicated that in the previous financial year, we were more concerned about looking into analysis of manifestos, engaging with political parties, having a dialogue with them in terms of our findings. And so the last leg of this particular, or the last phase of this particular activity, was then for us to observe elections. And we did observe elections on the 8th of May, and we now have a report that is ready, also having assessed what the results are in terms of what we have in all the various
positions, and we are going to be engaged in that. I must say it is very clear that we must somehow start lobbying for some sort of change. If we are not going to come up with a 50-50 legislation that is separate, we are now ready to start lobbying for changing the actual Electoral Act so that we force all the political parties to comply as far as this is concerned. In the current quarter as well, we are going to be looking in this financial year. We are going to release a report at the end of the financial year that looks into women's economic empowerment initiatives in South Africa. And so we are busy analyzing quite a number of frameworks that are in place as far as women's economic empowerment is concerned, so that we are able to give this parliament a sense whether these policies and these frameworks are actually working to assist women. And Chair, we will be in the report. We had also highlighted that we will now be looking into coming up with another the second CEDAW report. The idea here, Chair, is we must have our own primary source report so that when government reports, we are able to then assess and check whether some of the information that they are putting forward is actually information that we have found on the ground. In fact, the CEDAW committee is now in the country, and the CEDAW committee, DECO, has now made a meeting available. We'll be meeting with the CEDAW committee as the CGE on the 11th of September, which is tomorrow, Wednesday. And so we'll be engaging in terms of some of the things. They've got recommendations, specific recommendations for the country, and they want to hear from a monitoring perspective how far we think those particular recommendations that they've put forward have been taken. And so that's what we will be doing. As far as the national initiatives around combating gender-based violence, we had indicated, and if you look in terms of the work that we've done over the years, we've done specific assessments in terms of where are the problems, where are the gaps. And at a point when there was a summit that was being held, we summarized all these issues into principles, and we put those principles forward to the, all the departments that were doing the work as a view to actually ensure that they don't get it wrong, because we feel that for the mere fact that some of the structures did not work previously, it's because there were some gaps and there were some weaknesses. So we were able to come up with that particular report that engages of that on that, and we are now working just to highlight and check whether some of the things have been done. We have quite a number of complaints, Chair. We have tables that are there. I'm not going to get into them in terms of what we have found. Safe to say that we still, when we analyze some of the complaints that we have, is there are quite some number of gender discrimination issues that are coming out, issues around LGBTIQA+. We still see those communities, those particular youth, being taken out of schools. There was a learner where we had to intervene, for instance, in Mpumalanga, where some of those issues were. So those things are there. We were trying to just highlight the problems. And when we looked in terms of the maintenance complaints that we have, we also see now a new trend that a lot of people seem to be aware that if you come to the Commission for Gender Equality, then they are able to assist you to ensure that the maintenance courts do what needs to be done. And so we see a new trend now that these people, instead of going straight to these courts, they now come to us straight so that we then go with them there, which actually means that there's still some problems that is there. We have engaged previously before with the justice cluster on some of these things, and we are aware, for instance, that Department of Justice has indicated
that they have been forced as well due to the budgetary constraints that the whole country is having at this point, that they are not able to get some positions going as far as some maintenance officers are concerned. People, for instance, that will be able to help out these women to go and look up for these men. You are told to go and look for the men yourself and all those things. So we still have those particular problems as far as the work is concerned. We've just highlighted, I know Chair has already showed me that my time is up, so I'm trying as quickly as possible just to make sure that I run through everything in terms of the work that we did. We still undertook advocacy and legal at clinics, and we've had quite a number of issues that were coming out as far as that work is concerned, issues around protection orders that are being violated, and all the other issues. I think the biggest issue that came out, which we are still trying as a commission to find a strategy of how to deal with it, is this issue that you find in Limpopo, that you are then married to come and bear a leader or a king. So you get married to come and bore a king or a traditional leader, and we're seeing a lot of problems with that, because as a woman, once you have given birth to this son that was needed, then you are discarded. That's the first thing. But secondly, the other problem that we have found is that what it does is, because you are married into this family to come and produce a king or a traditional or a leader for that, you find yourself sleeping with quite a number of men within that family. And the idea is you end up, even if you have a child, you don't even know who the father is and all that. So we've taken up engagement with COFTA to say, how do we protect these particular women? We understand there is that particular culture, but how do we ensure that women, as they go through these particular processes, their rights are also protected? So that's the big issue that came out in this particular quarter when we looked into some of those, and we are hoping that our engagement with COFTA will be able to yield some huge reasons in terms of what needs to be done. And Chair, then quickly just to go into the updated, I hope this one will open, the updated a table. It's still not showing on the screen. Everything that I have highlighted, Chair, in terms of the presentation, the idea was to try and give a sense in terms of the work that was done. As indicated, the only work that we could not really be in a position to do was the issue that related to bills that are coming before this particular parliament, and so we are still hoping that we'll be able to catch up. The idea here is for us to do 4 submissions for all the bills that pass through parliament. So we haven't done any 4 bills because parliament only started its work later. So we will have to have a catch-up in terms of going through some of the legislative changes that are within this parliament that we will then be able to work on and do some work. But other than that, every other thing or activity is on track in terms of what needs to be done, and specifically for the 3 strategic objectives that are service delivery related and are looking outward, and we will then take some questions, Chair. We have noted some of the issues that have been highlighted as far as packaging is concerned, to ensure that we don't lose members as we engage in these quarters throughout, Chair. And some of the questions that have been asked by the WIP, we will deal with them right at the end when we deal with questions. I would at this stage, Chair, like to hand over to the CFO just to give a summary of the expenditure report.
Just summarize.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Which one?
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. I would suggest that we use the presentation for the first quarter. Chairperson, that presentation will be able to hinge all the necessary themes, which themes basically talks to accounting. The one that says financial quarter 1, 2019-2020. The one that makes reference to the proper naming of this particular vote. We know historically that vote 13 used to be a vote for women in the presidency, and post-elections the vote has been renamed. And so as the name of this particular portfolio committee being renamed to be for women, youth, and persons with disabilities. So as we are presenting, we are basically accounting for monies appropriated in terms of vote 13 for 2018-2019. And the first quarter will be for vote 13, still same vote 13, but for 2019. Two separate appropriation acts. I'm proposing, Chairperson, to use this particular presentation because when one looks into the figures that they were presenting, there's a comparative between what has been reported for the full financial year. As an example, if we are looking into slide number 5, of the same presentation, we'll see that we've got figures for the 12-month period in relation to 2018-2019, slide number 5. And then the comparative figures will be for the quarter, the middle, the second from the right, second column. That's basically the 3 months figures. So Chairperson, my take is that we can account for the third quarter and fourth quarter. As I'm presenting, I'll bring about context as it relates to what we need to account for. We are accounting, yes, for what has been appropriated, but we are also accounting for the necessary financial management compliance imperatives, PFMA and related things. So I will bring context as we go along. Yes, Chair. Chair, we have been appropriated 80 million rand for the previous financial year in full. The current financial year, we have been appropriated 85 million. So, Chair, if we skip the slide on financial position, which was slide number 5, basically this is a slide for how healthy we are financially speaking. It's a balance sheet. So we as an institution don't have any problems. We are going concerned. So we don't have bankruptcy or insolvency challenges. We are still a going concern. Next slide, as it relates to the statement of financial performance, the one preceding that, CEO. This is a slide relating to statement of financial performance. Historically, income statement, we can see when we look into the last row on this slide that for the year that ended March 2019, we had a surplus, a small surplus of 785,000 rand. And for the current year, 3 months period, we are reporting against what has been allocated, the quarterly chunk of allocation from National Treasury, which was 21 million. And we have spent out of that 19 million. That left us with a 2.4 million surplus. Honorable members, this surplus basically arose from the fact that we have had vacancies primarily for commissioner positions. So it's not going to be recurring going forward. Chair, on the next slide, Basically, which we can respond to if there are further questions, it's a detailed analysis, spending per expenditure line items. Takeaway from this slide would be that so far from the annual budget, in the first quarter, we have spent already 22% of that budget. 19 million has been spent as against the allocation of 85 million. So we are on course. I think ordinarily we should be like 25%. So, but for the savings that, that we have reported. Cash flow, we don't have cash flow challenges. If members will look into the balance sheet, we have cash in the bank. As at the reporting date, we had 11 million rand in the bank, and part of it will be used to pay for outstanding bills. But outstanding bills are less than what we have cash on hand, so we don't have liquidity issues. And as requested in the invitation, Chair, was to have a report per program and per economic classification. Slide number 9 deals with that. The first table would be the actual, the blue topmost table block will be the actual money spent. And then the middle one is comparative figures on the budget, and the last block would be the variance from between the actual and the budget. So takeaway basically is that the key driver of this favorable spending variance is the commissioner program, the 2 million rand that we are speaking about. So that is where we are, Chairperson, in terms of spending. And there's a slide further that also gives the indication. Next slide, CEO. Basically, this is per department within how we have been spending. We have further information should the committee require basically to drill down on what basically contributes to this particular spending variances. And the information that we can drill down is information that, like the chairperson of the commission has indicated, that we subscribe to good governance, and then even managers who are responsible for spending this budget are also being given the drill down information for them to account for any variance. So, Chairperson, that is how it went through, I mean, when we look into our spending activities. Apart from that, we can also indicate that because financial management, the PFMA requires that we need to have proper systems of internal control that are prescribed. What is reportable coming from the previous, the quarters for which we are reporting, was the fact that even from the previous fourth and fifth parliament, there was a need by this committee for the CG to account or properly deal with previous irregular expenditure. There's a history basically of the CG having incurred irregular expenditure some 10 years ago, which irregular expenditure remained not condoned until this reporting period, the last reporting period, for the year that ended March 2019, we could regularize through prescribed processes that irregular expenditure. So it was 34 million accumulated over the years. We have gone through its regularization processes, and that process has also been subjected to the auditing by the AG in our last audit. And there are positive outcomes, effectively, to say that we are no longer having that problem as an institution, and then therefore the irregular expenditure has been properly processed. And other things has got to do with sharing of information, I think, around supply chain, fleet management. It's for the committee noting, basically. I've just been transparent with our own activities. Apart from this, Chairperson, we have been audited. In the first quarter, an activity was around the regularity audit. That has gone well. The report will still be, you know, competence of the AG to report to this committee, so we are not reporting anything whatsoever around the outcomes. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. At least you managed to stick to your time. Honorable members, here are the reports. Can we engage them? Honorable Mam Kaula, number one. Honorable Ngombo, number two. Honorable Mgwebu, three. Honorable Sonti, four. In that order, all right. Number five, it will be Honorable Hlengwa.
Aika. Into yakho. Ngisho ukuthi hayi into yakho yangempela, ngisho ukuthi inkulumo yakho yona inhle, presentation yakho inhle imnandi. But inkinga yami la. Ngifuna lana ngilana ku slide number 9. And ngifuna ukuthola lana ku 2018 to 2019 labu lento achieve lana
mam kaola which quarter we were dealing with third fourth and first quarter
ya ngilana ku quarter 1 quarter 2 quarter 3
can we stick to quarter 3 4 and 2 1 year 2019-20. Oh,
can you
take a shiela nine? Ntanti, uyele mo vamo quarter two. Maybe is a naive question. Yako mshambi, it's related even to this quarter. Is a naive.
We are going to talk about it next time. Abona simbini. Malogo tumpazame.
But we must stick to the quotas that
yes,
were presented.
Some, yes. Lana ngikhuluma mina ngama achievement la kuthi quota 1 no quota 2 no quota 3. Ku quota 1 then ethatha bekune target ka 32. Yes. Wa akwa achieve u 27. Yes. Wa salu 5. Kwaphinda ukuthi kota 2 nakhona 32 wa achieve only 28 kota 3 kwa i target yakho ni 83 kwa lokhuza nakhona kwa achieve 19 kwa sala 11 lapha yana ku 32 kusala 4 umbuzo wami uthi lawa amanye uzazo achieve nini ngoba mhlambe niyabona isikhathi sinjani esibhekene kusona bese ngizalana bengibhalile la sihlalo sami ngiphetha leli phepha leli elingakhulumi kodwa elibhaliwe leli phepha lithi kumina i-rap top third police station kutholakala ukuthi ama-province wonke a-reportile lakhe njengasenanda ngiyabona la kubhaliwe umbuzo wami ukuthi ngifuna kucaceke la ngabe nikhuluma ngokushoda kwama ngabe ama-kids lawa ashodayo ukukhuluma ngama kids not kids ingane lana sikhuluma ngani ngeingane noma sikhuluma abantu abadala ngoba lana kumina ayikho into ecacayo la ngabe niqonda ukungitshela ukuthi njengoba lana ngibona lo zero uthi ngo 2018 March 31 lapha inyanga Western Cape uya le ngo 28 lana kwathola lu zero ngabe u zero uthani kwazange ukuthi mise wona noma nikhulumana kanjalo no zero ku 2019 0 0 0 3 31 bese kuzothi lana Orange Farm ngibuka kuyinkinga kakhulu la kubhalwe nje o zero board Gauteng kwazothi futhi Ivor But Kona Gauteng is not, you know, because I vote. It's again, na Kona or zero. Gifunu wazi, mna nitoli ngifunu ngazelo la tukwenza kalani. Ngova la, mangasa nitazuti hii ngane, abanda batala, fuyo kungene no adult sexual assault. Konke loko futhi nako, kuya ngidida lapho kuti khuluma ngani manje. And mangabe khuluma ngama kids. Ngabe lana, labantu ababa wenza, ibone kushotayo, ngabe ba mangake aenziwayo, mangaka fakelwa kuma province ngabe bangaka abantu mhlambe bayenziwa la mhlambe amanye ama country mhlambe just ukuthi bafika la bezowathenga just ukuthi bahambe nabana banenkinga njengathi ngizocela nje beyoncazelo ngoba ay kimina angikho happy shem bese ngizongena ncane lapha ke endlini ukubalile izinto ukukhona la ngichaze khona ephatha khona kwa-human settlement. Ezinye zey'nkinga esihlezi sikhala ngazo e-Chairperson. Kuthi la sikhuluma ngabantu besifazane ukuhlukumezeka kwabo. But kodwa asifuni ukubheka izindlu abahlala kuzona. Ukuthi yes bayareshwa, bayahlaselwa, bayabulawa. Kambe la behlala khona kunjani. Kuney'nkinga esihlele siyi-reporta. Ngibuyele futhi lapha yana sengizoqeda nje. Ngibuyela lapha emajele. Eyinye into angisho ukuthi CGE nahlangana ngamakhanda kwenzenjani. Angisho ukuthi ni wrong. Lento enishoyo. But sihlalo. Angikho happy. As member of parliament osetshenzelwa olana ngokuthi elethwe ngamavoti abantu. Why ngisho njalo? Uyabona lana u-CGE uzokhumbula kunamakhesi amanye athi into dandi labantu besifaza khona behlukunyezwa. La khona umndeni iy'ngane zakhe ziwuthiwe zashona. Kodwa still la umacala namanje asikaze sibone boshwa umuntu basahlukumezeka. La sathi sihlengene khona uthola ukuthi ukhathazi nawo lo mnyanga. Manje kungcono ukuthi lana sithi la masala mase siwalandelile sihamba nasibone beboshwa laba bantu. Laba bantu basemapulazini still basahlupheka namanje. What's the use ukuthi lo sihlele lasixoxa? Next time ngiyocela mina sihlale ngemvume yakho. Ngisakuphinda lokho. Le nto yokuhlala la eParliament kube mnandi lo sikhuluma sikhuluma still abantu bethu bebehlukumeza ngaphansi. Ibuhlungu. What 19 Efrayhead kuyimanje kunomndeni busebenzela iplazi. Lomndeni lona wagqoshwa umlungu usedayisa iplazi. Baphuma kabuhlungu labantu bashiya amathuna abo. Emva kwalokho uthi ubaba ulokhu ehamba yosebenza ke yena ngoba efuna ukuthi iy'ngane zakhe zidle. Wafa lo baba lo. Ufise kwentsha noma kwesilwane kuyimanje labantu athi ngikhuluma nabo izolo lento sihlalo ibuhlungu yabona nje ayikho into ebuhlungu ukubona nisemhlanganweni nabantu sithi si lokhuzana mhlonisho gekeso if ufone ufonele KZN uzobuza ukuthi njengoba sasihambe siye dandi kwagcinani ngoba kini labo bantu kusahlupheka umhlangano kwakukhala ngane ehlale yonke into mina ngiyibona Chairperson indaba ukuthi sihlale lana kunzima eminyango bayareshwa abantu bayapha abantu nasemaplazini kunamacala lana othola ukuthi akaveli kulamaphepha kuyimanje siphinde ukureshwa ugogo amaphoyisa azange ahamba yekhona kodwa udaba seluzireportiwe eMushwana New Hanover same cases. Manje CGE angumina into engiphatha kabi ukubona abantu bakithi behlukumezeka. Silo sizohlala la sikhuluma into engayindawo. Yes ngiyazi ukhala ngesikhathi sihlala. But sometimes afuna ukuthi ngelinye ilanga sihambe siyoyibona lezi zinto. Niyobona ukuthi ngelinye ilanga mase size la eParliament ngeke nifane nobona lento engiyizwayo mina engiyifilayo. Kuyimanje imoto yami phele yonke into ifile. Ngenxa yokuthi sihambela abantu
Siyabonga Mam Kaula, into ekhulumayo ngempela izwi sibhlungu, and as members we must go down and check on this thing and come up with solutions. Honorable Ngoba.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. No, I have just 3 points to make, and the last two ones are just questions. The first one is a concern, the one that was mentioned by one of the Honorable Masiko about late submission of documents. So I think it's very important that we get documents on time so that we can come here fully prepared to engage the commission. And then the second one is the question around corporate branding or the marketing strategy for the commission. I'm saying this because this is a Chapter 9 institution. It is as important as the public protector, as the auditor general, but we don't really hear much about this commission on the media, as much as we will hear about the Office of the Public Protector or the Auditor General. So, but understanding that there are different institutions as well and dealing with different matters. But what is the commission doing to reach out to women in South Africa, across the country, even women that are in rural areas? You go to places like Cabo Mzimkulu, deep rural areas, and you ask them, what is the Commission for Gender Equality? They don't even know, and they probably never even heard of it before. So what is the commission doing about that? And then the third one is the provincial commissioners, or those that are based at provincial level. What is their role in provinces? What are they? What exactly are they doing? For instance, as Mam Kaula mentioned, there was a shortage or report that some police stations across the country did not have rape kits. Now, are these commissioners not having a role to play and going and visiting the police stations and checking if the rape kits are there? So, thank you so much, Chief.
Honorable Sondi.
Ndiyabulela Chairperson. Sizawugawula siwarhuqa, but there is a lot of things which we must know and ask from the commission there, but sizokhalisa ngenxa yesikhathi. Okwam kuya laphaya kulela phepha le-rape, i-top 30 police stations. Chairperson, ndine-concerned kakhulu about that report coming from the police. I don't think it's enough. There are many provinces here in South Africa, so I don't think the report is right. Number two, more especially rural areas, abantu laphaya, others, they don't know how to report. Okokuqala, uthole ukuthi cases zabo azingaphambili. Number two, abanye, they know how to report, but they have that fear yokokubana if like umzekelo, a daughter for some another woman have that problem ye rape from the father, uthole ukuthi umama uyavika uyala uthi no, we mustn't report this thing to the police, because if we report this thing here at home, this man, my husband, he's supporting us. If now we report this thing, who is gonna support us here at home? So inyamalale ingxaki kube buhlungu kube njalo umntwana ehlukumezekile. This number of rape, it's not enough. Ulel paper. So umbuzo wamke uza kuwe ke commission ukuthi nina ke ngokunake yeyithi role eniyidlalayo to get these things, to get these all reports in all provinces. I'm telling this dine evidence. Where I'm coming from, in Northwest, in Lili, the one say Eastern Cape, but I'm based in Northwest. So isn't this Ning, and this is your name is Bonayo. It's from Northwest. Sinomntwana laphaya, I'm sure it's 5 years over now. urechiwe ngutata wakhe for a long, long, long time. Emncinci from 10 years. Lo mntwana umrethi lo tata wakhe waze wamlimaza. Xa sithetha namhlanje lo mntwana u-disabled. She can't walk. Uphulile. But le case lena akukho la iye khona. Because that child, umamakhe akekho, uphumile ekhaya, I don't know the problem. Waya kumadlelo alihlaza. Lo mntwana uhleli notatakhe. Utatakhe uthi, okay, umamakho, she's not here. I will do everything ebekufanele ukuthi ndiyenza kumamakho. Alimaza umntwana. Lo mntwana makuyiwa ngaphambi simbona thina as community leaders. Why kunjeni? No, ningambambisi ubaba. We are getting 1,000 rand kubaba each and every month. We are support. So ma ebanje ubaba sizodlana ekhaya. So zizinto endiqonda as it's not included here. So ndicela ubuza ke commission ukuthi nina ke ngokunake nizothatha iphi part or nizodlala iphi role to fulfill this thing. Le minto yona asiyamkeli sonke apha endlini. Mani before ningena besikhuluma ngayo. It's not accepted. Next iyashota kakhulu. And phume ndigijima ke apho. And futhi kakhulu ezilalini njengoba sendishile amaxhekwazana ayaphela ezilalini areyitshwa nangonyana babo because of igrant bafuna igrant bayababulala bayabarepha babenza yenzalozo and ezi cases aziyingaphambili ukuthi umama ayo umntana andifuna abanjwe. Okay, size ke ngokunake phaya kwi-outreach advocacy kune-teenage pregnancy kune-abuse of women in farms kune-victims ezi-withdrawer i-cases kune failure ye court to deal with those cases the maintenance kune unemployment kune domestic violence kune rape kune DNA engatholakali ama results wakhona engahambe indawo i DNA results so ndicinga bazonke ezi zinto commissioner okokuqala teenage pregnancy yona yenziwa yintoni okokuqala yenza i unemployment okwesibini abantwana besikolo yenziwa yintoni kukuziphatha kule ezinto zama taverns eziningi apha ekuhlaleni so abantwana they don't have i-control because even ezi taverns zimiye by the schools okokuqala number two ne-grant that child's grant efunyanwa ngamantombazana athola abantwana so they are doing bazalele ndingathi zinkukhu zizalele amaqanda amanintshi uba bezawuthola that money yaqonda and le mali uthole nayo yeyo grant leyo abayisebenzisi ngendlela efanele baphinde baye ngayophi kwi-taverns also i-unemployment nayo ke yenye yezinto and then ibuhlungu nale yasecourt into yokuthi uthole ukuthi utata akamaintain abantwana but uthole ukuthi umama uyaya ecourt ayofaka this case but ingahambeli ndawo sine-proof zezo nto ezo so sicela ubuza ke commissioner ukuthi ezo zinto ezo nisinceda kanjani yaqonda also ne-domestic violence abasendishilo ne-D N A zonke ezo zinto ezo kupage five ku-third quarter masiyeni sikhitshi kupage five ku-third quarter kukhona into ethetha nge-booklet enye nazama ukuthi niyibrande ne but this booklet mna ndisenesikhalazana ngayo because it's in Setswana only no in other languages ne only Setswana bandive kakuhle singesi siyandishiya okay kupage 15 futhi in same quarter third quarter ne page 15 yandibona ndiyakhalisa chapter ya ixesha likho kwinantsika kupage 15 ne kukhona into ethi during this quarter ne no field work was carried out at all due to the refusal of the Department of Correctional Services to issue permission of access to the three selected correctional center for the study yonke loo nto leyo naleyo into it's not right because kaloku ngumsebenzi wenu and then ndiyaxaba ke ngoku okanye nizosicacisela ukuthi why beye bafeyila ukubana babe bayanantsika bayayikhupha that permission that permission of access to do this thing, yes. Number 26, page 26. Ndiyaqeda ngoku chair wam. Kupage 26, yes.
are my key issues raised during the outreach advocacy and legal clinics included. Okay, Mandibele ndiyeke because in on that teenage what abuse those women yonke leyo nto ndicela udlula apho ke nje. Okwesibini ke ngoku kokugqibela futhi ku fourth quarter. Ku fourth quarter in page 24. Yeah, in 24. It's also yafana the key issues raised during the outreach for Mandivele ndiyeke yafana but benza uqiminisa ke ngokula high rates of gender based violence including femicide, the killing of women or girl by the men nanjoba sisazi ba ikwi high level kakhulu ngoku apha e South Africa kakhulu ndicinga bayino basiboyiva even last week bekungcwatya lo mntwana wenzekelwe ile nto ebuhlungu kakhulu. So commissioner, you must act on that. Okokugqibela ke finish and clear ku page 27 noba sityanga kushiye kuyasetyenza ndiphaya kwi radio stations ndiye kwintoni listenership. Ndine consent phayana ndiyazibona zonke ze radio stations inhle kakhulu futhi nale nto eniyenzile ne yobana nikwazi okokubana ucommission abe nazo eza radio stations but ke ngoku isikhalazeni naso andimboni umhlobo wenene phaya andimboni ukhozi FM phaya and what I think abantu abaninji bakuthi apha eSouth Africa bagxininise kumhlobo wenene bagxininise kukhozi FM to hear everything which is happening apha eSouth Africa okanye abangaze bona bavele kuzo beveza isikhalazo zabo hayi onto endingabazi abo radio tefo ntontoni andizazi zonke nto zilapha mna as radio stations. You radio station ebalulekileyo thina for the South Africans ngumhlobo wenene nokhozi FM mandiyeke Jeperson
la mama ngiyakulela mama
Mgweba
thanks Che sorry ma
I will be very fast Jeperson
like me mama kusonti
sorry you know CGE one, I understand Chair Whip has also questioned the targets that have been carried over from the previous or the financial year to the 2019-2020. But however, the first question, colleagues, on the CGE is it is commended on the work undertaken and subsequent outcomes with regards to transformation in the mining sector. So my question, was a policy dialogue held in quarter four on the gender barometer research report on mining? That's the first question. The second question, Chair, is on women in correctional centers. Can the CGE give us a progress that has been made with the Department of Correctional Services since the release of the research study findings by the CGE? And the third question is on Elections 29 project. 2019 project, it's not clear the outputs in terms of what has been produced in quarter three. And then can you then the committee can be the committee briefed at any progress that has been made by yourselves in amending the Electoral Act and advocating to 50-50 quota? And then the fourth one on forced marriages and child marriages, strategic objective one, KPI monitoring and evaluation report. How is the CGE collaborating with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities and also the Presidential Review Committee? Based on cases identified at their dialogues in terms of child marriages. And again, I understand that there's been a law reform that has been given attention to government in terms of rectifying the amended SDC gender protocol, which prohibits marriage of persons under 18 years. Then my question is to yourselves, have you then proposed or sent your inputs as the CGE on those issues? And again, on the issue of the current challenges, which is the gender-based violence, what was the impact of your campaigns run by the CGE focused on the gender-based violence? And what are the markers of success? What can you tell us in terms of your success on issues of gender-based violence and femicide, which is the current issues in the country? And also, I want to understand, in terms of the pending cases, I think this question we have asked as the committee in the last meeting with yourselves, and we know that there's high number of certain cases in provinces, and what are the key reasons to the delay, and why so few files registered in certain provinces, and what are the implications of not investigative reports in some certain province in terms of quota 4? So those are the questions. And the last one, colleagues, I understand on the radio and media interviews, what's your protocol? And have you done media interviews for the last events or the current events? Because each and every day there are cases. You can go even on social media, on Facebook. There's a group there that calls. You can also, you know, be part of that group. It is not another child. That lot of cases that has been reported even today and even yesterday. So what is your media protocol, your media interview protocol in terms of all these issues that are happening in the Western Cape, in Gauteng, in the Eastern Cape, deep, deep in rural areas? Thank you, Chair.
Mam Shengwa.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. The first question is in connection with the correctional services. How many babies are there in the units where mothers are in the jail staying with their mother, and what is the progress done to those babies? Number two, according to the houses you have report, how many houses in each province have you identified or are there in each province? Lastly, why are the pending cases are so high in some provinces? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, honorable members and our commissioner. I think you have heard some of the questions, and please just be quick to respond to them. But I just want to find out, Chairperson. You see, when we check your reporting, it's not clear whether you have achieved the targets and what are the reasons and whether are you going to carry on with the not achieved targets in the next quarter. Can your reporting should just be clear, because really there are a lot of narratives, but the numbers, they don't talk, so that we can see that if you said in quarter one, strategic objective number one, you are going to quarter one, you are going to have reports, four reports for that quarter. And when you report, you must say to us, in quarter one,
We said we are going to have four reports produced, but we managed only to get three reports produced. And the fourth quarter, we are going to carry this outstanding report to the second quarter or whatever. But if there are a lot of narratives but without any concrete numbers, then it makes it difficult for us to can see whether you are achieving or not achieving. And maybe lastly, you see in quarter one, well, you said you didn't achieve the whole percentage. You said only 71%. And you gave some reasons of the parliament being not in place, and now you didn't submit all those bills and whatever. But in the second quarter, are we not going to see a regress again on not achieving all your targets? Thank you. You can respond to the questions.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, thank you very much for your questions, comments, which I think we will take into cognizance in terms of reporting the next time. Obviously, I think members have expressed concerns on the late submission of our report, and we would like to indicate to this meeting that we will improve next time. We will send our reports quite in advance so that members of this committee can engage with our reports moving forward. So we will definitely try and improve on the submissions. However, Chair, we were also talking and saying that perhaps if we also just get a schedule of these meetings from honorable members to say the meetings will take place and we are informed in advance, and maybe there is a schedule, which I think the previous committee used to share that schedule, then we are able to prepare quite in advance and share those reports in advance. But we will improve in terms of the timing of submission. I think that's the first thing. The second thing, honorable members, is that I think we will look at the format itself in terms of reporting, because we really understand your frustration that you are not able to actually pick up what was initially planned in the strategic, in our APP, and report that against the set targets for that particular quarter. And I know that members were inundated by the three quarters at one go. So I hope moving forward, when we report just for one quarter, we will then be able to demonstrate a CEO, bring that information that says, this is what was planned for second quarter of 2019-2020. So against this plan, this is what we have achieved, this is what was not achieved, and these are the reasons for that surplus, and this is how. Then we move immediately after that table, we move down to the narrative to say, based on the figures up, that have been reflected on top, this is how we are going to deal with, you know, the fact that we need to augment on the outstanding targets that were not achieved. So we will look at that. We will improve in terms of our reporting format moving forward. Thank you very much. Let me quickly run through the questions. I will just take the high-level strategic ones, and CEO, CFO will then take questions that are related to programmatic interventions. Honorable, I think I will combine other questions, because there was a question on the GBV impact, what is our impact or what is our strategy moving forward. I think this question was asked by a number of members. Just to say that we usually have these annual plans and targets, And this year, the reason why we have even moved in terms of making sure that we have the fourth strategic objective was to realize that we are actually not doing enough in terms of our interventions that are looking at how do we investigate, how do we lobby, how do we make sure that we look at emerging issues like the gender-based violence as well as femicides. And again, with the reconstruction of the Ministry of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability, we are actually moving together with them to say we need to sit down, we need to plan. I think we were together in, what is the name of that place, in the east of Johannesburg not so long ago to actually plan together. And I know that they have actually finalized their strategic plan, and we need to move in sync with them to say these interventions, because we cannot deal with them as an institution alone with our mandate. So we need to look at what are other strategic objectives of other entities, government, in terms of, looking at how we better fight the scourge of gender-based violence as well as femicide. Not only Department of Women, we are now going to meet with NPA, and I know that the NPA head was on radio this morning, and we are also planning to meet with them to actually, you know, plan on how to work with NPA in terms of addressing the scourge of gender-based violence. We have worked with the South African Police Services. We have raised a number of issues. We have come out with recommendations, and there are strategies that the department, the SAPS, have developed in terms of working together with CGE as well as NPA in addressing the scourge of gender-based violence. But how we measure, we have developed our own internal framework as well as tools that will actually measure our impact moving forward. We have gone out, we have changed the strategies here and there. We were looking at things like addressing the girl child, for an example. We are moving away from that. We are including the boy child. In the plenary last week, we said we need to come up with a strategy that will actually address the men, because it's not the women who read themselves. We have young boys as well as men who are raping women. So the strategy for CGE needs to also target and focus on how we actually involve and address men as well. So moving forward, we will have a big campaign called Red Card that will actually target men as well. So all CGE men will go out, and we will be out there to target men as well. So those are the strategies, and we will actually track and trace over time to say, is it making any impact? The second thing that I would, the CGE, the commissioners, I'm glad there was a question around commissioners, Honorable Ngobo. They are not provincial commissioners, they are national commissioners, but we have deployed them in provinces based on the language and the number of things. And these commissioners are actually going to track and trace, and in fact their role is to engage with the leadership of each province at all levels, be it political leader, be it government leaders, HODs, speakers, and everybody else, to actually first introduce CGE and our mandate, but also look at how can we work better with the leaders in provinces. And then we are not just there to be invited to events. We are there to strategically, put the position and work together with those stakeholders and leaders in provinces. So issues of rape kits that were not present, that were absent in some police stations, that now that we have the full complement of commissioners in all 9 provinces, including myself, I have my own province, or provinces, if I can put it that way, we will go to all police stations in the country and track and trace. Because what we did was, after engaging the Minister of Police as well as the General, it's called the General, as well as the other commissioners from provinces, we agreed that we will make sure that the rape kits are ordered, and they agreed that they will be ordered. And recently, the Minister of Police as well as the Deputy Minister have announced that these rape kits have been procured. And this Honorable Mam Kaula, this page that says 00 actually indicates that these police stations, 30 of them across the country, because there's Umlazi, there's Inanda, there's Kagiso, there's Mamelodi, there's Mankweng, there's Orange Farms, all of this information that is there talks about how those adults, as well as pediatric, which is children, abantwana, rape kids, are going to be then deposited, or they are going to be disseminated into those areas. And where you see 000, for an example, it means the rape kids were either there, the shorter was here in Dao. So levels in Dao as shorter yongama rape kids will actually be given rape kits. There will be dissemination of these rape kits, and we will use our own mandate as the Commission for Gender Equality in terms of all of us going to different provinces and different identified police stations where there were no rape kits for both adults and children, and check, because ours is to monitor. We will monitor that those rape kits are there. But what I heard the Deputy Minister of Police saying, he was saying that the procurement has been done for 3 years, so we need to make sure that what happens beyond 3 years. So we will go around, monitor this, and hopefully when we come back in the next session, we will then be able to really report, because those kits have just been procured. We will then report and say, yes, we have gone out and we have actually witnessed and seen that the rape kits are there. Let me run quickly to others. Meet with other commissioners in the Western Cape.
Sorry, I'm gonna start.
Yes.
Then Safunu to Swazula Court.
Yes.
Kona I kids Yabatana?
Yes.
Kona Mamadan?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Zishugene Kakuluma.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Let me just provide a broader view of our role. Yes, those kids are there, and the kids are taken, but we raised some concerns, Ma, just to expand on the kids. Thank you. The kids themselves, I think we were worried about, even if the test has been done, mtwaneni nobemntwana omdala, we were concerned about the delays in getting the results as well. So that's why ubuthola ukuthi umboshwa akaboshwa, ngoba it's either i-rape kit ayikho or yenziwe i-test yahanjiswa, sithole ukuthi la e-countryni zimbili kuphela indawo la kutestwa khona, enye ingala, enye is somewhere in the Eastern Cape. Manje uyuthola ukuthi laba bakoLimpopo kuthatha isikhathi mhlawumbe kuze kuphela unyaka, and then umuntu noma ebanjiwe uyakhishwa ngani, ngoba i-evidence ayifikanga enkantolo. So those cases are usually thrown out of court. So I think we have heard the Minister of Police, Ubabu Bheki Cele, emngcwabeni esho ukuthi kusukela manje they will make sure ukuthi these perpetrators are not given an easy time, and bayaboshwa and bayagwetshwa kakhulu. So we will also work closely with them. I think we are signing a memorandum of understanding with SAPS. Kwenzela ukuthi sisebenze kanje, sibe amathe nolimi. Lezi zinto zonke sizozigada. And also going to family, child and family courts, we will make sure that we assist abantu abanezinkinga through each child and family courts, and we even become amicus curiae. We become friends of the courts with Ms. Katwenzel, ukuthi siwabone lama cases edlula and abantu begwetshwa ngendlela efanele.
Ngiyabonga ke sithanda sami. Sihlalo, ngiyabonga. Kodwa uzobuya ungicacisele kusekumakhithi onjani lo ozagwetshwe. Kusuke kade kwenzekele khona lo gwetshwa udonsa 25 years, ekugcineni kutholakala ukuthi akaze arape, akaze enze lutho. Ungakwazi ukusinikeza iclarity, because as a government
imbuzo yonke leyo eza kuthina ifusamba phansi kubantu nangomunye nje kulezi insuku tholakala liphuma ejele kodwa egcine sidonse isikhathi eside egcineni aza isuke ngenziwa ngani lento. Ngiyabonga
Mam Khawula. I think some of the questions sizobiza lama department are relevant, then we ask them this question because it's very critical the question oyibuzayo, but it's the police and the justice department that must answer that one. ECG umsebenzi wabo ukusebenzisana nje nalabantu, but they don't have a mandate kangako ukuthi but le case icitshiwe and then what are the reasons, but they bona nje ubonisa ukuthi basebenzisane nawo labantu laba. Sizobiza labantu laba size sibakhulumise nabo. Can we just make sure that we wrap up because this cut has served Wumi. Ngo 2 o'clock there's a sitting.
Let me just wrap up, Honorable Chair. The commissioners who could not attend this session, who are based in the Western Cape, could not join me. I usually invite them. We had a strategic plan on Friday and Thursday last week, or a plenary, but they had pre-scheduled meetings in their provinces. So baphumile nabo baye kuma provinces wabo. One is in the Northern Cape and one is somewhere else. So they could not join me, but I always bring commissioners to this session. Mam Khawula, on going to different areas and then inviting this committee when we go to rural areas and to very hard to reach areas. For an example, last week when we were closing the National Women's Month, we invited this committee to go with us to Makause informal settlement. I'm not sure whether the committee is away. We extended an invite so that we can all go to Makause, which is an informal settlement, so that you get the real feel of issues that and how we work when we go to those rural areas. But I must also say that we are not going to leave the portfolio committee alone. We will continue through you, Chair, harass you, invite you, so that we go out, when we go out and do our outreaches, the members of this committee can actually be involved and really look at how we do our work in those rural areas. Let me leave it here, CEO, and maybe you could. Thank you, Chair.
In fact, I think we've covered quite some ground. I think the questions that I wanted to deal with, for instance, we were asked in terms of the radio programs and the radio stations that we have engaged with, and there was some sort of concern that was highlighted that there is no umhlobo wenene, ukhosi is not showing. When we do a radio program throughout the year, we go to various community radio stations. And so you will find that maybe quarter one and quarter two, it's just that I couldn't go back to those reports. We do show, and because there are quite a number of people in South Africa that we need to reach, the reason we have engaged with GCIS and even a community radio forum at the time was to ensure that each time we have an educational program, we are able to speak to various people in their own vernacular language. And so that's why we will not repeat. We won't have umhlobo wenene every other time, but we need to also go to other community radio stations. So it's not that we don't go there. We do, but we will have different reports every quarter because we can't go just to one. There are quite a number of vernacular languages that we need to be able to deal with. As far as the booklet is concerned and the concern that was raised that in the third quarter of last financial year we just dealt with isiZulu, I've indicated that that was a particular pilot for that year. And this year, we are now rolling it out. And we did indicate when we were presenting the APP to this very committee the fact that this year we're going to be looking into isiXhosa
and e-Africans. I know that at that point there was also an issue that was raised as to whether why should we do Afrikaans and not any other language. I think members also know that we are struggling when it comes to a budget. And so we try, when we do languages, we also try and check which other, if we do Afrikaans, for instance, because we already have isiZwana, which covers Free State to an extent and Northern Cape. If we do Afrikaans, we're covering Western Cape and Northern Cape, part of Northern Cape, all at once. And if we do isiXhosa, so that's how we're going to be dealing with it. It's not because we are trying to elevate one language over the other. And that's the work that we are currently undertaking for this financial year. We are finished and we are done as far as Setswana is concerned, and we are now busy rolling out and engaging with PenSalp and others to ensure that we have that in isiXhosa and Afrikaans, which will then cover quite a number of other provinces. As far as correctional centers and why there was a failure to give us access, it becomes quite difficult for one to indicate. When we do our work, and we will many a times come and indicate this to the portfolio committee, we do sometimes have difficulty in having access. And this is why in many instances we then resort to subpoenaing people whenever we want information. And if you subpoena them as well, it also doesn't go well with them because it's almost as if we are fighting with them. But sometimes we do that because we want to ensure that we have access or we secure that which we are looking for as the commission in order to discharge our mandate. We did indicate, I think, in the first and second quarter of the previous financial year, even the third quarter, the difficulties that we had. Eventually, when we then threatened subpoena, then DG Fraser came forward and we were given access to all the correctional centers. In as much as we finalized the report within time, but members must also understand the kind of difficulty that we have, we then have to be running around, even though we have planned work properly to say by second quarter we would have had raw information that we will then be able to analyze and all that, then we end up having to push everything towards the end of the financial year. So we did have that particular engagement, and I must say we're a little bit disappointed. I mean, in as much as Justice and Correctional Services called us last week Thursday to engage with us on the report, a lot of time was given to the department presenting. So the department, because they belong in that committee, they presented, and when it was about 5 minutes to one, we were then given an opportunity to say something, and it was not enough for us to be able to engage properly on the report and some of the findings. But yeah, at least we were given an opportunity, and we did try to just elevate and highlight some of the issues that we found, but it was quite difficult for us to be able to do that. In terms of the number of cases, the number of kids that were born in correctional services, I would have to get the exact number. But in our report, we do indicate, and I think part of what we were looking at is to say what then happens when a child has been born within a particular correctional center. And we have seen that then they also have, like, clinics that are next to them where they take them for immunization and all that. I just don't have the actual number here because I didn't look into that report specifically, but we do have an idea of how many kids get there. In terms of gender transformation and all the questions that were asked, gender transformation and engagements and policy brief engagements with the mining sector, we have been able to have those engagements. In fact, we were quite happy with how African Rainbow is actually taking some of our recommendations forward. Firstly, because we had indicated that they are really very low when it comes to issues of gender mainstreaming. They took it so serious that they actually even went to a UP, a university, the gender center there in at the university, to get them to train all their senior managers on gender mainstreaming, so that when we now engage and talk about gender mainstreaming, they know exactly what needs to be done. And so we are quite happy because they seem to be taking some of the recommendations quite serious and trying to do something about it in order to change how they are looking as far as transformation is concerned. In terms of underage marriages, I think members would understand that and as chair of the committee has highlighted in terms of our mandate, ours is to always get involved. For instance, I'll give you an example. Two Sundays ago, I was in Gwatem, where we have a child that was married off, a 15-year-old that was married off to a 69-year-old. This child comes from KZN, was married off to this man who then took this child to somewhere in Mpumalanga. And when there was a lot of uproar on social media and we were all trying to track in terms of what is happening, he then deposited that child somewhere in Guatemala here in Springs. And so we were there. We went to meet with the family. I saw the child. We engaged with DSD. Obviously, it's not us that can do things physically, but we must ensure that departments do what needs to be done and they respond accordingly. And so we engaged with DSD, we engaged with NPA, and we engaged with the rapid response team, because our worry was this had happened when we found out this had happened about 2 weeks. And this child had not seen a doctor, this child had not seen a psychologist, nothing, a social worker, absolutely nothing. So we had to start right from the beginning by firstly ensuring that the child is removing. We are happy now the child is removing. It has been removed to a place of safety, and we keep in touch and we are engaging. And we are happy that they are now receiving the medical attention that they need to receive. But it was also interesting because part of what we do, we also monitor to say what is happening as far as cases is concerned. And the biggest problem, and this we also raised with commissioners of police when we called them, we subpoenaed all of them, national and province, is how some of the matters get, you know, the charges, the way that some of the investigating police put the charges, right from that end, sometimes that's what makes the cases fail. It's very clear. Because, interestingly enough, in this case, the child was missing. Abduction. So they had put abduction firstly because they didn't know where the child was. Now there was a process to say, now this is where the child is, the child underage and what. And you know the charge that they put. I mean, for us, it's very clear. If you are going to sleep with that child, it's a child, you're a 69-year-old, it's statutory rape, it's clear, it's got nothing else that needs to be put. And the police have nicely put in their docket, charged with doing what acts with an underage child. I mean, you know, we are window dressing and coming up with language that is not going to assist us, because we have legislation. We know what statutory rape is. That's exactly what we need to be able. So we are following through on that to ensure that that police station is able to change that into the correct thing. So those are some of the things that we do. We do have to cause some things to happen. When we are aware of specific cases, we respond and we then ensure, because the idea is we must work with the NPA and everybody else. And this is not the first case. We have another case where a child ran away from KZN into Eastern Cape. And that child, the kind of issues that she's highlighting, that one you can see it's a clear trafficking matter. And that child is very clear to say, if you take me back for any process in the KZN jurisdiction, I'm not going to cooperate. And the reason is there are a lot of allegations that she's putting on the table in terms of
how there's a syndicate in KZN that is working on some of these things, where there's a social worker that will be involved to ensure that in that child headed household, they take that child. There's a doctor somewhere that is a private doctor that is also into this thing, so that when the child gets pregnant, the child gives birth quickly. At a particular age, the child is set to give birth. Now you can get pregnant. And then when it's a girl child, then they take the girl child and then they start grooming them and what have you. And police are involved. So those were the allegations. And what we then did in that particular case, because of the work, and luckily it had happened immediately after we had subpoenaed everybody, we wrote to National to say this matter must be dealt with National, because there are also other issues that are coming out in terms of that. So that is just a few things that I just wanted to highlight in terms of the work that we do. Some pending cases in the provinces. We have various reasons. It's just that because I did not look into the specific quotas that we are talking about, but in some instances, it's not easy for a matter to be closed quickly. For instance, if we're looking at a complaint that, like this Guatemala case, we are going to open that case up until a monitoring case, up until something gets done, up until the case goes to court in some instances. So there will be those particular cases that will take long because there are legal processes that needs to follow. So in some instances, there are matters like that that we need to take to court, either to the Equality Court or those ones that we are basically monitoring. I think when you look at the history in terms of where we're coming from, in fact, there is much more a heightened up process to ensure that those investigations that we do that are within our purview and they don't necessarily need to go to other areas, that we deal with them and dispense with them as quickly as possible. So that's what the other issue that I just wanted to highlight and deal with. In terms of the reach, there was an issue around branding and reach. What are we doing to ensure that we reach the rural areas? We have two strategies in terms of trying to reach the rural areas. The first one is through the radio program. In the radio program, we deal with all the various issues that are happening in provinces, and we try and highlight to people what their rights are, what our work is all about, so that we can assist them, and so we take that forward. But as well, when we do these outreach, the outreach work that we do, we also try and go to the various communities and rural areas. We will share with the committee now going forward as well. We'll share the APP table. We'll also share the areas that we visited each quarter. In some of the quarters, we do have information that highlights the areas and whether it's rural or urban that we have touched and that we have gone to. So we'll continue to do that just so it gives members a sense of which are the kind of areas that we have worked on and what some of the issues that are coming out there are all about. I'm just trying to scan quickly, Chair, if there are...
I think you further have things. Covered. The chairperson actually covered most of the questions. And would like to thank you very much for the presentation and the good work that you are doing. I think some of the questions that maybe you feel that have not been covered, you can prepare a written response and be given to the committee. And your request is also noted that you'd need our program of when are you going to come, but stick to the program of reporting, please, because that one you do have, so that next time we are not going to say to you, you brought documents very late, because we have to stick to that one, and when we meet you, we have already studied your report, and you are not going to take time, because you have to read 1, 2, 3, but then you'll just lift up specific things, then we'll have to engage. Because now
honorable members, they've got many things they wanted to engage with you, but because of time, you could not. And on that note, thank you very much, and next time we'll meet again. And I think this was a good, good presentation and a discussion that we had. Honorable?
Okay. I just want to say keep up the good work to the CGE. I've become a little fan of the CGE, so I just hope that you guys just keep working and keep doing good things on the ground. And I look forward to coming with you when you go into those rural areas so that I can learn some more. So keep it up. I'm very proud.
I'm not going to go alone. The committee will accompany the CGE. Will be going. I think you're correct, Honorable. No, Honorable Members, we still have got another item to consider. Thank you very much. Fly safely back to your destination, or if you drive, drive safely. Next time we'll meet again. Thank you very much. And CFO, we are happy with your financial management. There's nothing that you are going to talk about finances. You are number one there. Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we are just left with some few minutes before we go to the sitting. I'm not sure whether members will agree with me that we have been shelving our minutes to adopt minutes. This is the third time now. And we have got lots. We have got only one. Okay. Oh, we have adopted last time. Then can we just shelve this one for next week Tuesday? Yes. No, Mom Sontu, you said we are working, we can even go on. Honorable members, thank you very much. And our researcher and our content advisors, thank you very much for being of assistance to us. I know that you had so many things that we were supposed to raise, but you could see that we don't have enough time. But next time we'll make sure that maybe, honorable members, what we need to do is to focus on what is there on that day so that we don't get distracted, and what the advisors have highlighted to us, we don't even raise them. We must have enough time to go into details on what they are presenting on that day. And thank you very much for making me a chairperson of the day, and you have made my job very easy. And thank you very much. If there's somewhere where I didn't do well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The meeting is adjourned.
Yes.